The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, meant for someone else but not for me. Paper house that's made to stand with paper nails, it's all I thought that love could ever be. What's the use in trying? All you get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Then I saw her face. Thought that love was more or less a given thing. Seems the more I gave, the less I got. Like a flower that grows, love's like a living thing. Living things don't like to be forgot. Love was out to get you, that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. I'm a believer, not a trace. Hooked out in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. Say I'm in love. I'm a believer.
Oh, 344. 4991000 is the telephone number. I worked out why I'm on a Neil Diamond Jag. Bought loads of Neil Diamond like CDs for like £1.29 on Music Magpie. Oh, by the way, when you know when I do this voice, I go, you know when I do this voice? It's really annoying me. I get really annoyed when I do this voice. But I can't stop doing it. Really annoys me. Thinking about yesterday as the show was going on, I kept going, you know what gets me really angry? It's this voice. And I can't stop doing it. And as I was doing it yesterday, I thought, all right, okay, mental note, I'm doing that voice again. Don't do it again. Oh, suddenly I'm doing it again. And I can't stop doing it. And I'm driving home last night thinking, why are you doing that voice? What's that?
Do you know what's interesting?
Yeah.
That voice.
Yeah.
It's followed by that voice.
Yeah, yeah.
You're having an argument with yourself.
Well, the thing is, right, and now I'm thinking about it, I can't do it, which is good. So, but it'll just come out at some point, right? Is it really gets on my nerves doing that voice. I can't stop doing it. I don't know why. So if anyone's got any tips for stopping doing that voice. But so I'm buying loads of Neil Diamond CDs, including some from the 80s. Very, very dodgy time for Neil Diamond in the 80s, and a lot of the 90s, actually. But buying some of his classic 70s albums. Man alive, the You Don't Bring Me Flowers Anymore album. What an album! The 0344-499-1000, the Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee, that's Catherine Boyle.
Word.
You can call in about anything. The September Morn album. Dear God, it's marvellous. I'm glad you're here with me tonight. What a record! Serenade? That's a load of old crap. Serenade's this weird album where the songs are like 6 minutes long and he seems to have forgotten how to make a tune. It's because he's got no tunes, right?
Is he just talking?
Well, it's very pretentious, right? Very pretentious. Then there's a weird song on there, right, called Reggae Strut, right? Reggae Strut, about 1979. Doesn't sound like reggae, but I'm going to play you this awful song. But listen, this is Neil Diamond, right, a white guy.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Here he goes. Chalky.
Someday do. Someday don't.
Wish they wouldn't.
Someday won't. Try.
to know. Well, you got to go and ask it. How are you going to ask it? Maybe you move it by.
This is a white Jewish guy from Brooklyn, isn't it?
Maybe you like to dance it.
Dance it.
Maybe you like to chance it. Maybe you like to try. Maybe lady do reggae strut. Maybe lady she do okay. Maybe lady do reggae, making the hips way, moving it okay.
That's something, isn't it?
Wow.
That's something. Anyway, so I'm listening to the You Don't Bring Me Flowers Anymore album today. It's a great album. I've forgotten how great. There's no stinkers on there. There's some weird ones, but there's no stinkers. The first song, American Popular Song, which is like this orchestral epic about American pop song, followed by Forever in Blue Jeans. What an opening two tracks to an album. But then there's this song, which I might play later, right? And as the intro, it's a song called Mothers and Daughters, Fathers and Sons. And the intro... It's a very... I mean, sorry, guys. This is a bit of therapy for me tonight. Let me just... The intro is a really... I haven't heard this album in about 35 years. 33 years. My dad used to play this stuff in the car all the time, man. So I think this song started... Oh, listen to this menacing intro. This is menacing. Isn't it? Isn't that dark?
And so they came.
And it starts on the word and. But it's dark. And I was driving and it hit me and suddenly something happened in my brain, right, that I can't explain. Only music can do this. I would say the only two things that can do this, prepared to hear other examples, but I don't think there can be any. The only two things that can do, that can have this kind of reaction and join these dots in the brain, music and smells. That's it. Maybe touch, maybe
taste.
No, I don't think so. Not in the same way. Not in the same way, to a certain extent, but music and smells. But this song starts and suddenly I'm like, whoa, it got a little bit trippy and a bit psychedelic. And I heard that intro and I thought, I've got to hear that again. And I played that intro for like 10, 15 times. And then I let the song play. And then halfway through, I just burst into tears. I was driving and I burst into tears. And I was coming down the M1, I was thinking, what is this? Where has this come from? And suddenly it all made sense. My dad was a huge Neil Diamond fan. When we had him buried, my sister and I selected, my stepmom very kindly said to my sister and I, do you want to choose the music for when he's brought into the chapel? Which I thought was an amazing, we hadn't seen him for years. I thought that was an amazingly generous thing for her to do. So me and my sister chatted and we came up with Hello Again by Neil Diamond, right, which is a song I can never listen to now. I just can't listen to it. And so there's kind of, you know, my mum and dad in the 80s used to go out and see Neil Diamond. It was a big thing. I remember going to stay with Mick and May's parents when they went, all four of them went out to see the jazz singer at the cinema, doing that voice again. So I just can't stop doing it. I hate that voice. It's because this affectation that's become part of me now.
But it's the voice. But it's the voice that tells that voice off.
I like that voice, but I don't like the other voice. It's an affectation I think I was putting on, and now it's locked in. Like, when I say mate, I mean it genuinely. But it started off when I was 16 in the lower sixth, fifth form lower sixth. We would all say mate ironically, because the young guy in ABC Music, the guitar shop on the Farnham Road in Slough, whenever you went in, would always go, all right, mate, can I help you? And we thought that was hilarious. So we'd all just go around going, all right, mate. Can I help you? And we'd all just say mate all the time. But then after a while, it became part of my vocabulary. And now I use it all the time. Why am I telling you this? None of this matters. None of this matters. That's the thing. None of this matters. Someone tweeted me the other day, your show is just filler. I was like, but all radio is filler. isn't it? And you can have it filled with hate and with anger and with Muslims and with this Brexit group that have come up with no plan. We can have it. You can fill it with that. Or you can fill it with a bloke who's potentially on the edge of another nervous breakdown, reminiscing about the guy in ABC Guitars on the Farnham Road in Slough who used to say, mate, which would you prefer? I know what I'd prefer.
Yeah, me too, mate.
But unfortunately, we're working, so we can't listen to that. So we have to listen to this rubbish that your licence fee is paying for. So I'm buying all this Neil Diamond stuff because I, Catherine, have phases. For a while it was Dylan, then it was I don't know what it was afterwards. Then it was McCartney, and now it's Neil Diamond, where I just go and buy everything that I can. I don't listen to all of it, but I listen to a lot of it, and then I move on to the next thing.
It was Dylan, then it was country music.
No, I don't think it was.
Well, there was a country music phase.
No.
Yep.
No. Mm-hmm. You're speaking. That's fake news. It's fake news. There it is again. So 03444991000 is the telephone number. So so this diamond stuff, I'm guessing, is in some way connecting with my dad, who died like 5 years ago now. I think over 5 years, 5.5 years ago, and I don't know why. And I guess it's because of the divorce is going through. That's happening. That's happening, guys. That's coming very, very soon. And I'd like to talk to my dad about me getting divorced. And I'd like to talk to my dad about the reasons that, you know, some of the reasons behind the divorce. That after 2 years of living in a room, in a self-imposed kind of exile from life, I'm now living in a beautiful house that I can't afford at the moment. I will be able to afford a bit better next year, but I can't afford. And I'm starting to rediscover what it's like to be me. That's what I'm doing. And you've seen it because you've come around the house and you've seen me kind of, you know, happy there. And I'm starting to rediscover myself. And I want to share this with my mum and my dad, I guess. And my mum's too ill to really be aware of it. And my dad's dead, you know. So I was listening to this Neil Diamond song. And I'll play it later. It's a great song. It won't mean anything to you. And a lot of you think, oh, it's a crappy song. But it's just nice. And it just reminds me of, I don't know, being 10, 11, 12 when everything was all right. And just driving down the M1, just burst into tears. Just floods of tears. Very, very strange. And I was driving to Willesden because I was buying off of Gumtree. You know, Gumtree. It's like Freecycle, but you've got to pay. I was buying some bedside cabinets because I haven't got any bedside cabinets. And bedside cabinets are so bloody expensive. They're like 60 quid each for cheap ones. So I've been looking on eBay and they've been going for like 60 quid each. Cheap ones. And then I found this set on Gumtree in North London, about an hour away from where I live, about 50 minutes, an hour away from work. I thought, well, I'll go. So I went and I met this lovely woman and she was selling them for 40 quid the pair. And I got there and they were a little bit tattier than I wanted. And I opened them and the shelf had fallen down because the pegs weren't there. And I went, I'm going to pass. She went, oh. I said, yeah, they're just a little bit tattier, then I'm going to pass. And she said, oh, you could offer me £30. I went, yeah, okay, So she was haggling for me. Doing that voice again.
She wanted him out.
She was haggling for me. I can't haggle. And I kind of thought, 40 quid, you know what, buy cheap, buy twice. I might as well just buy an expensive pair. Then when she said, there's like a pause, about 10 seconds silence. You could offer me £30.
Well, but you weren't doing a bargain. You actually didn't want them.
No, I
think you've misunderstood what haggling is.
I think we both have. Both people involved in that deal did not understand the concept of haggling. She was going down on me. That's a little joke there for the dads. A little bit blue for the dads.
And some of the mums.
Some of the mums as well. 03444991000 is the telephone number. That might sound like a random and inconsequential opening monologue for a show. Sure, you stack that up side by side next to, I don't know, James O'Brien monologue, opening monologue at 10 o'clock in the morning. No comparison. His will destroy me. You stand that up next to Stephen Nolan opening monologue. There's no comparison. The facts, the weights, the details. Of course, they're going to thrash me. But neither of those gentlemen, neither of them, will have exposed as much of their broken and fragile souls as I just did. Bear that in mind. Catherine?
I was going to say, Roberto Peroni's quite good at it as well, but he writes it out word for word.
That's cheating.
After hours amusement for anarchists, air hostesses and jet-lagged antipodeans.
Good night, Cobbers. Can I crash on your floor? The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Good evening, David!
Hi, Ian. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you okay, David. What would you like to say to the audience of the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio tonight on this holiest of nights as we celebrate, Jesus?
Okay. Well, it was more to do with your point about the, you know, you were saying about the sense of, like, when you smell something or when you hear a certain type of music.
Yes.
It brings you back and it made you feel emotional, etc.
Yes.
I've experienced that quite a lot myself, actually, in similar circumstances to yourself. I have a kind of theory. I don't know if this is going to sound a bit strange. I don't think, well, for me anyway, that this, when you smell something, like even like an ex-girlfriend's perfume or something that you haven't smelled for years,
I wonder where
20
that was
years,
going to go.
It's not like, I don't think it doesn't remind me. It's suddenly, for a split second, I'm transported back.
Oh,
to that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
it's a weird feeling.
It's time travel. It's time travel, man. Exactly I smell white musk. I'm in Kerry's bedroom again 28 years ago. I'm in Kerry's bedroom 28 years ago. I'm there. I can see
exactly.
Everything. I'm there.
And that's why we start crying, because we're not there anymore.
Yeah, we go back in time. I don't want to do the phone in what smells work for you. We might do that after midnight, because it's a good one. But go on then. What is the smell for you that takes you somewhere?
To be honest, there's many. Like, I've got a similar one for, like, a certain, like, my mum used to put on this like hand cream and it had quite a strong smell. My mum passed away. I'm going to smell it suddenly, like if somebody's wearing it. Just bizarrely, I'm like, for a second, my mind goes back.
Yeah.
It's like you remember how you felt when you were that age.
Hand cream.
Hand cream
isn't as popular as it used to be, is it? Mums were always putting hand cream on.
You know why?
Go on.
Dishwashers.
Oh, well, I suppose so. Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, but the dishwasher industry killed the hand cream industry, David. That's what we've learnt so far from tonight's show. Where the hell are you, man?
I'm at Hammersmith Station.
Oh, it sounds like it. Outrageous.
Yeah. But that was really my only point. I totally, you're the first person that's ever said it to me. When you said it, it really resonated.
Yeah.
It's something about that time travel moment.
Yeah.
Or even cut grass and remember playing football or rugby, cricket at school,
yeah,
for 10 minutes, for a second, you think you're young again. But I don't think you're actually remembering how you felt. I don't know if you actually are remembering exactly how you felt at that time in your life, or it's just a brain thing. I don't know. I never can work that out.
David, we need to conduct more experiments. Thank you for your call. This is what they need to do, because they're doing experiments, as we know. Going into that voice again. They're doing experiments. Scientists are currently doing experiments on time travel. We know that. That's happening. And I bet they're investing in a lot of, like, millions, billions of dollars worth of electronic equipment, electromagnetic spirogizers, polarity reversers, Doppelflanger, bell cheeses, all of these things, right? And what they should do is they should just get a nice comfy chair and put smells around the chair, like for that guy it'll be his mum's hand cream and cut grass, for me it'd be a bit of white musk, it would be a bit of incense, it would be petrichor, all of these things, and then spin the chair faster than the speed of light, and then you time travel. I think that's the way forward. It makes sense to me. Does it make sense to you, Matt?
Makes sense, Ian.
It does make sense. Yeah, I'm really good now that you've backed up my science. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you got for us, Matt?
Hi, Kath.
Hello.
Jesus. Hi. Just got a cool little story about Neil Diamond.
Here we go. I'm always up for cool little stories about Neil Diamond.
I was serving in the Royal Navy some years ago,
yeah.
And I was wearing my nice little white sailor outfit. Ooh. On a run ashore. Ooh. In Boston.
Cheeky. Yeah.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
And had a few jars of ale, as you do, and there was just the two of us, and we'd lost the rest of them, and we were walking, stumbling along the pavement.
Yeah.
And a gentleman approached me and said, "Excuse me, sailor, your shoelace is undone." And I looked up, and it was Neil Diamond.
Shut the front door!
I didn't have a camera or a pen or anything, so as a souvenir, I asked him to tie my shoelace, and he did.
No, shut up, man. Now you're making this up.
Oh, no, it's genuine. How cool's that?
I'm waiting for the punchline. Give me the punchline.
That's it.
Right. You're walking down the street in your sexy sailor gear.
Yeah.
A man comes out of the shadows and says, "Excuse me, sailor, your shoelace is undone." You look up, see it's Neil Diamond, and then how do you ask Neil Diamond to do your shoelace up?
Well, we didn't have a camera. I wanted to get a pen, an autograph off him, and I had no way of, you know, to make a memory of this.
So you made him your slave?
I asked him, and he agreed, and he got down on one knee and tied my shoelace.
That is the best story ever!
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, Kath. There's your video. Put that out on the social medias. That's your video. That's going to go viral tomorrow, Matt. Thank you.
Okay, mate.
Thanks, man. Care. Best call ever. Call the show off. We cannot beat Neil Diamond tying a sailor's shoelace. We can't beat that. That's it. We're done. We're finished. Game over. Goodbye. Desperately trying to think of a Neil Diamond song with, like, the word tie in it. And I can't. That would have been the punchline. Would have been the tie. Oh, man. Anyway, and that's a great call. But what? How would you go? "Excuse me, sailor, your shoelace is undone." "Oh, bloody hell, it's Neil Diamond. I haven't got a pen. Would you tie it for me?" Be my honour to thank those who served. Thank you for your service. He's down there.
Wow.
He's down there doing it. And he looks like, "Thank you for your service."
Wow.
"Hey, Neil, why are you down there, mate?" "Hey, that's a step too far. But for your service."
Oh, stop it now. Come on.
I'm not, just for legal reasons, I'm not in any way saying Neil Diamond gave pleasure orally to sailors on a regular basis. Not on a regular basis. It's a one-off. Once in a lifetime offer. Neil Diamond.
Oh, wow. No.
Yep.
I mean.
Let's go to Dan.
Hey, Ian. Hey, Kath. How are you two this evening? Oof. I'm not going to ask you, actually, because you don't like that.
Well, you did ask, and then we went to answer, and then you just said you weren't going to. You retracted it.
And you know what I've written in capital letters right here? I've written, "Don't ask how they are." No, that was real that I wrote on.
Oh.
I know I messed up. That's okay. I'm a long-time listener and a first-time caller.
Yes,
and
buddy.
I thought it was about time I stopped leeching off the show and actually contributed.
Here we go. This is great. I'm going to say thank you to everyone. This show is funded, of course, by your licence fee. This is Britain's most listened-to late-night phoning show. And now Dan, at long last, is pulling his weight. He's got some stones and he's picked up the phones and he's pulling his weight. Let's get Dan's contribution. Here we go, Dan.
Your little pebbles.
Yes.
Hey, Ian. Okay, so two things. Firstly, I want to say, on a completely off topic, it's a boring one, but you have really, really helped me in the last year to totally change the way I judge people, in that I don't do it as much now. And I can say I'm someone who suffers a lot with anxiety, and you know, the less I've been judging other people, the more I've been accepting myself. Wow. So I want to say I really put that down to you and the show. I've learned a lot night after night. So thank you very much.
Okay. Well, can I give you some advice?
Oh yeah, go on.
Man up, snowflake. Man up, you pussy. What the hell is this? What the hell is this rubbish? Man up, boy.
Okay. I've got something better for you then.
Okay, go on then. Thanks, man.
Okay. So I want to tell you of one of my diseases. Well, it's an illness. Yeah, it's a quirky one, though.
Yeah.
And I'm not making light of it. It's actually, you know, been an issue for a long time. And it's no joke, and it's three words, and it's called sexually induced sneezing.
Here we go, mate. You're one of the SISs, which I've heard so much about, but it's great. It's a pleasure to speak to someone. Tell me about it, man. What happens?
Okay, so there's two forms of it. The more severe one is that when you are being romantic, it encourages you to sneeze, which obviously has its own issues. Or not, I don't know, it could be a positive thing, depending on how you look at it. The other side of it, though, which is me, is that if you need to sneeze and you have a romantic thought, it makes you sneeze on the thought. Does that make sense?
Well, okay, so it's not... So is it if you're having intercourse, you're sneezing everywhere?
That's one form.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't have that.
Oh, so you're just, if you think... Oh, I'd like to touch a lady or a gentleman. I don't know your preference. I'd like to touch somebody's bottom. That would make you sneeze.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
So the reasoning for it is...
So if you walk, if you're in a room and you fancy someone, you're just going to be sneezing all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unlucky, dude.
Yeah, I know. It is. But the worst part about it was. I read from research online, which is sketchy at best, that it's actually hereditary and passed down, it's believed. So I did the naive step of asking my mum, "Mum, you know, I experienced this. Do you experience this?"
Yes.
And she was like, no, not at all. It was, the conversation was done.
Oh.
A couple of days later, I was just in the living room, and I sneezed.
With your mum?
My mum was in the room, and I looked over at her, and she looked at me, and I thought, you know, I shouldn't have told you that. I should not have told you that.
So you want to have sex with your mum?
I think you're reading between the lines.
I'm just trying to deconstruct your sick mind.
I know, yeah, it did sound that way, didn't it?
Yeah.
It did sound that way. The reason for it, if you're interested, I don't know if you are or not, but I'll carry on until you cut me off. They think it could be one of two things. One, which sounds more plausible, is that, you know, neurons in the brain or whatever, it just, the parts that are linked to those, like, sexual desires are also linked to sneezing.
Yeah.
And the other
is it not a blood? Is it not a blood pressure thing? I would have thought blood pressure... Because that's bonus.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Kathy's giving me a dirty look. Why are you saying that? Why are you giving me a dirty look, and then I'll explain it better. It's obvious. Blood pressure.
You said under your breath, blood pressure. Oh no, that's
no. But you gave me a dirty look at blood pressure. Blood pressure, because you see someone attractive, and it's not happening now, and your heart. Goes boom, buddy, boom, buddy, boom, buddy, boom, buddy, boom, buddy, boom, buddy, boom, boom, boom. Goodness gracious. Wait, and that can... I just thought that might put pressure on your nasal cavities or something.
And that's apparently... another theory behind it is that there's a little bit of erectile tissue in the nose that when you have them feelings,
I've heard that.
It increases a little, just a tiny bit, but enough to make you then sneeze.
I've heard
that. So, like, your nose could, you know, have an erection, I guess.
You could get an instead of a boner, a nose boner.
Yeah. Or maybe they just call it Pinocchio, I don't know.
So is a sneeze your nose ejaculating?
Oh, maybe. You know, and I don't wear protection.
Always put a nose dom on.
Tissue.
Always.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. I didn't listen in school, Ian.
Kathy's really... do you not find this fascinating?
Well, as someone who sneezes all the time, I'm wondering why I'm missing out on the fun part.
Oh, it's the best, Kath. Honestly, it makes my day. It's like, I'll always be smiling after.
Dan, you're a dirty, dirty boy, but thank you very much indeed. This is the Late Night Alternative. Pat, George, Caddick, stay there, come to you in a bit. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
Jacked up jive talk for janitors, jazz cats and gin-soaked boys and girls.
Is that Commando?
If you're awake, you're a welcome.
I've got 5 cactus needles stuck in my...
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Good evening, Pat!
Hello there.
Hello, Pat.
Yeah, you know the last caller you had on with, you know, every time you're sneezing?
Yeah, dirty, dirty pervert. His number has been given to the police because that is disgusting.
Right, well, you know, like people with hay fever?
Yeah.
Does that mean that they've not really got hay fever, they're just sexually charged up?
Yeah, does it mean they're all perverts? Everyone who sneezes and who sneezes a lot is a dirty, dirty, dirty pervert.
Well, I mean, I suppose they exist.
Yeah, they do. They do, unfortunately.
But I just thought I'd phone in and say that, you know, when people... next time you see people sneezing and they say, oh, it's only hay fever, but they're really perverts.
Dirty people. Pat?
Yeah?
I've got to go because I feel a song coming on.
Oh, no. Please.
Really?
Yes. Thank you, Pat. Stay tuned. I dedicate this to you. Traveling far without a home, but not without a star. Free, only want to be free. We huddle close, hang on to a dream. Not reading any of the words, I know this. On the boats and on the planes that come into America, never looking back again. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. Close it up.
Can you do your top up again, please? Oh, no, wait.
Hang on.
Oh, no, no, no.
I ballsed it up! You can't... You do it wrong. Here's the thing. You get it wrong. I'm man enough to admit when I got something wrong. And I got it wrong there. I got the words wrong.
You know
there.
The other day when I locked eyes with your cat on the litter tray? This is even more uncomfortable. Could you not... No. Could you not? I'm not looking at you. Oh, God. There's nipple on show. I shouldn't have to put up with this.
Yeah, you love it. Here comes... Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Neil Diamond. Here we go. We got it this time. Know where we're going now. Far, free, far, we've been travelling far, without a home, but not without a star. Free, free, only want to be free. We huddle close, and hang on to that dream. But how are we getting here? I'll tell you. On the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America. Never looking back again. They're coming to America. Home to a new and a shining place. Pack your bags and we'll say our grace. Freedom's light's burning warm. Freedom lights burning warm.
And our kids in internment camps.
Home. Don't it seem so far away? But ship, we're traveling light today. in the eye of a storm. In the eye of a storm. Hey, on the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America. Never looking back again. They're coming to America. Got a dream they come to share. Shit! They're coming to America. Got a dream and build it there. They're coming to America. 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 When? Today, yes. Today, yes. Today, yes. Today. My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing. Of thee I sing today.
Oh my God.
It finished a bit early there. It goes on a little
not,
bit longer.
Not early enough.
Goes a little bit longer there. This is Talk Radio, home of the hit.
Dead of night discourse for disco queens.
I'm related to Jedward and Dolly Parton.
Dairy farmers and distant fathers.
Yeah, whatever.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Doing lots of things that we don't know about, we can't control.
On Talk Radio.
Yes, great.
03444991000. I tried to get the Ian Bone. You know who Ian Bone is? You know
no.
Ian Bone? What's going on there? What can I hear? If I do that. I'm trying to get Ian Bone on the show. Ian Bone is the founder of the newspaper, magazine, the literature, the movement, Class War. You ever have Class War? And they're kind of, I think they describe themselves, they are described as, I don't know if they describe themselves as, they're described as anarchists. And I was reading some of their stuff, and some of their stuff is kind of cool, and I kind of agree with it, you know. And the basic idea is that the rich and, I guess, those in power subjugate the poor, and that the poor and the working class have got no chance because of the rich just pushing them down, pushing them down, pushing them down. And I find all of that stuff fascinating, right? Because, I can kind of dig that.
Yeah, the idea that trickle-down economics doesn't work and they know it.
And they use the system to line their pockets. That's true. I mean, that's true. You look at Steve Baker, scumbag, you know, scumbag MP, who's been investing all kinds of things to protect his money. Anyway, so I was reading some of the stuff and thought, oh, this is really interesting. But Ian Bone is also the gentleman, he's you will have seen him or heard him on the telly today. Mm. He's the guy that shouted at, what's his name? Jacob Rees-Mogg. Children, your daddy's not a very... You heard this? Your daddy's not a very nice man. A lot of people don't like your daddy and that kind of stuff. And I was really hoping we could get him on to have a chat with him about it. I reached out to him. I tweeted him.
Yeah.
To see if he would come on and have a chat about it. Because I find it fascinating. Personally, I think my view isn't as clear-cut as everyone else's, and perhaps people would assume mine would be. Personally, I think saying that to the kids is too much. But I have a but. I have a but to accompany that, right? And the but is that Rees-Mogg, I think, is despicable. I think his treatment of working class people and the people that aren't him is despicable. And he is putting himself forward as being an overt pro Brexit person at a time when that is still a very contentious thing for a lot of people. And he is propagating, that could be argued, myths and lies about Europe and about, you know, things like that. And also he does use his kids in his politics. I'm not saying it justifies it. I'm generally thinking it's a bad thing. But this but does sit there, that he has brought his kids into the arena, into his work arena, in that you will often see photo shoots that are intended to promote his ideals in the papers and online and on the news. You'll often see him with his kids at events that he knows will be filmed and photographed. So he has made them part of his career. He's made them part of his career. So I do think what this Ian Stone's a comedian. I do think what Ian Bone did was wrong. I said reprehensible. But I have that but. I have that but kind of, because my knee-jerk reaction was, that's outrageous, that's disgusting, that's horrendous, what an arse, what an idiot, that's horrible, what a nasty bullying thing to do. That was my knee-jerk reaction, and that was my knee-jerk reaction for most of the day, until I came in and sort of gave it a little bit of thought. And I do think it's inappropriate. I do think it's bullying. But I have that but there. Do you know what I mean? I'm not expecting you to agree,
I disagree with right, but either side bringing children into it, it's not fair.
Yep.
Those children didn't choose to be there.
Yep.
They didn't choose to be their children. I do think, right, you've got to look at how counterproductive that is to your cause. Because, right, Jacob Rees-Mogg is parading his children, arguably, in front of the press to add to the sort of cuddlification of him.
Yeah.
And by targeting the children, you're adding to that as well. Because all of a sudden, poor old Jacob, and look at his poor children, and it must be terrifying for them.
This is why I wanted to talk to Ian about this, because I don't think he cares. From what little... I Wikipedia'd him, I went to the Class War website, I went to his blog, and I looked at a couple of articles. That's it. All in 25 minutes. You can't get a man's philosophy in 25 minutes. But I don't think he cares.
No.
So he doesn't care what we think, because we are mainstream media and we work for Murdoch.
But there are plenty of people on the left who sympathise with his cause and who back him up to that point.
Yeah.
And then he loses them.
I think...
Was it worth it?
I don't think there are... There won't be that many on the extreme left that do, but that's extreme left. Class War is an extremist... organisation. So you're not going to get your average Labour member agreeing with him. A lot of people on the left won't be agreeing with his philosophy.
No, but there'll be people like you who've read into it and gone, oh, right, OK, yeah, I'm with you up to there. Right, hang on, I don't want to align myself with this sort of behaviour.
Well, but again, I don't think he's an anarchist.
Mm.
So that doesn't...
Does that mean you don't care about children?
No, but it means he doesn't care... He doesn't care about what you're saying.
Right.
About affecting the people that you're claiming might be affected.
No,
he didn't care about that.
Does he care about being a significant force in politics?
No.
All right, so he's just freestyling.
I think so. They did put forward some... They did become a political party in 2015 for that election, I read. But I don't think they consider themselves as... They're more protest movement as opposed to a political movement, if you see the subtle... Am I the only one? And I'm not in any way justifying it. I think it's horrible, and I think it's wrong. But I have that but there. I have that but, and I can't get away from that but. My sympathy goes with the kids. Of course it does. And I'm not doing it because it's Rees-Mogg, and I disagree with almost everything. I'm not doing it because of that reason at all. Had it been kind of flipped the other way around. I just think that any person in the public domain, and by that I mean radio hosts and movie stars and politicians, and people that have a public profile that bring their kids into that public profile, particularly at a very young age, I just think that that's bad parenting. Mm. I think that's bad parenting. I was saying the other day, my youngest keeps saying, can you get me on TV? And I say, yeah, I can, but I'm not going to because... and he doesn't get upset, but he wants to know. And I said, because I don't... you're too young to make that choice. And once I open that door, I can't close that door. If I get you on a TV show and you are billed as Ian Lee's son, that means if we're out shopping, pictures of you can get in the paper. I don't quite go into this much detail, but this is my thing. Pictures of him can then go in the paper.
Yeah.
He is then a target to be papped. I don't get papped anymore. The whole, you know, the excitement of the jungle has worn off. But
were anything to happen...
Yeah.
Whereby you were in that firing line again, yeah. So would he be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, the thing about my divorce and drugs and stuff, that got in the papers. And if I were out and a picture got taken, you know, tragic comic, Ian Lee divorcing his wife and here is their young son. So that's why I don't do it.
Well, look at Katie Price's kids. They're always in the papers. It's such a shame.
Yeah. 0344 499 1000. Not in any way, you know, justifying what this guy did, Ian Bone did. I just have this butt. There, you know, I maybe that's just me. I don't know. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. Good evening, George.
Good evening, Ian, Cass.
George.
Few things on my mind, but you've distracted my thoughts by talking about Ian Bone because I too am an anarchist in its original sense.
Yeah.
Anarchy being a harmonious state of existence, which makes government unnecessary.
Yep.
And I go along with that totally. And I did connect with him in 1985 when he organised a Bash the Rich march, which was supposed to be marching on Hampstead, but got diverted at Belsize Park. You saw a bit of film of that.
Yes, yes.
So... it's just a bit of synchronicity. I'm sure he'll come on your programme.
Well, I've tweeted him, and he may do, he may not. I don't know. But I thought he'd get a fair hearing.
Yeah, no.
If he came on here.
I think he probably will. Anyway, yes. Other things you were talking about. If you could lose one of your senses, what sense would that be if you had to lose one of your senses?
Smell.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, I could go without smell easy.
I love smells.
Yeah, well...
Smell this.
Oh, don't be disgusting.
No, I think most people would agree with you. But you were talking about smells.
My knee-jerk reaction, my first thing was going to say taste, but no, I love taste. I was just thinking, nice burger, a bit of cheese.
Yeah.
Some nice roast lamb. So, hearing, I need hearing because I want to hear my children's voices and music. Touch, because I love to pleasure myself and others as often as possible. Sight, because I want to look at as many wonderful works of art and boobies as possible. So smell, yeah, whatever. Yeah. What would you get rid of, Kath? Smell, it's rubbish.
I love smell.
It's rubbish.
I love perfumes and stuff. How could you go without be smelling a flower
again?
All
right, be blind then.
No, I quite like looking at stuff.
Okay, go deaf.
What kind of crazy scenario is this anyway? Why do I have to choose?
Come play George's game.
All right, well, what if a genie pops out and says, oh, you didn't realise, but now your wish is granted?
Oh, you're an idiot. George, what would you get rid of?
Oh, smell, definitely. Yeah. I think most people would, because there's so many bad smells about. And my favourite smell is the freesia flower.
Yes.
I used to wander around with little bunches of freesia flowers, giving them out to young ladies that I was attracted to. And the smell of freesia would be... my smell.
Kath, you've got 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. You've lost touch. There you go. You've lost touch.
You didn't tell me what you were counting down to.
You've lost touch. You knew what we were talking about and you blew it. You've lost touch. That's gone now. By the way, I've lost touch in one and a half of my fingers.
Right. But if I lose touch, do I still get feel?
No, of course not.
Because it would be like...
Feel is not one of the senses. Feel is not one of the senses. Touch is... It's like if I lose smell, do I still get sniff?
But if I can't feel anymore, that means I'd be like one of those amazing women who can like pick up really hot things and I can do all that stuff.
Whatever.
Thanks, Superwoman.
You're being a muppet.
Actually, this is a really good idea. Thank you.
George, we're out of time, but thank you very much indeed. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Gosh, we've covered Neil Diamond's black voice. We've covered losing a sense and justifying shouting abuse at children. What an hour! 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Sometimes Miley Cyrus, she sings a song or two. She likes to play a guitar as well. Sometimes Miley Cyrus, she had a love with you.
Sitting there strumming away in front of me, Miley playing with the guitar, playing it hard. Miley Cyrus doing it styling now. Miley Cyrus, here she come now with the guitar. Ooh, doing it styling. Miley doing it styling. She playing guitar and strumming in front of me, Miley.
Guys, that song got to number 32. This is not even a joke. In the iTunes dance chart, number 32. That criminal did not break the top 30, as all I'm saying. That's enough of that rubbish. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number, dear listener. The late night alternative, weeknights from 10. On Talk Radio, Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. You know the rules. We sit here and we talk about our day, and sometimes we talk about news stories, the big ones, and sometimes we talk about the small ones. And you are welcome to call in about anything, absolutely anything. We've kind of almost sort of put up a semi-defence for the guy that shouted at Jacob Rees-Mogg's kids, kind of. Well, not a defence, a but. I disagree with it, but I've put in there. So you can call in about that. You can call in about anything. It can be something that's on the front page of the newspapers, on page 17 of the newspapers. Is that voice again? Or it can be something that happened to you today. It really is your chance to call in about absolutely anything you want. And look, I'm not, you know, I'm not doing that. Oh, God, I think my job's going to be gone. I'm safe here for the next few months, at the very least. A significant number of months. But this show ain't going to be here forever in this format. It can't be. It's impossible. It's a niche, cult show. Is that water? Oi, 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 water. Water. Thirsty. So what I'm saying is, this show will not be here forever. So make the most of it while you've got it. Because one day, you won't got it. Okay? 03444991000. Right. I don't like the anonymous stuff. I don't like it. Right. And I've had some anonymous stuff recently. I've had some emails from someone, from someone who calls himself, oh no, not him. Right, that's the name. Oh no, not him. Sending emails. They're nice emails, but there's no name, and I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. I mean, it's nice email. Ian, I remember Catherine from the last place. She was recording inserts that were worthy of Kenny Everett. Please remind her of that. Next, have you heard of a chap called Andy Collins? He's good. Took over from some geezer on 3CR. Same age as you. Grew up a few streets away in Slough. Then there's a weird bit. When the calls ain't coming in, he's confessed to being Jewish too. I don't quite get with that. But just sent me a few emails and I just think, nah. Put a name on. Put a name on. Even if it's a fake name, put a name on. And then we can have some kind of connection. But doing it anonymous. And then there was someone else sending emails. Again, they were really nice emails. But I wonder if I can find them. Anonymous. Here we go. From something called Photobox Studio. Hello, Ian. About 3 weeks ago, we sent you a postcard. We need to know if you've received it. Have you? Postcard of a flamingo. And I did get it. So I replied, yes, I did. Did you like it? Yes, I did. You're being very mysterious. You're being even more mysterious. Listen, I meant it. You're a good bloke, even if you might not think so. Please keep on keeping on, because there's people out there who love you and care about you. Love and peace. And then I wrote, okay, I'm not really into the anonymous stuff, so thanks, but no thanks. Okay, says Photobox Studio. We aren't part of the anonymous society. We're just a bunch of photographers trying to tell you how to feed your cows. Gonna leave you alone now, I promise. Why couldn't they put their name on it? It just makes me feel very uncomfortable. And we get letters from time to time. The nutty lady who does it on the purple paper. Mm-hmm. We get letters that are anonymous and cards that are anonymous. And I don't understand it. Because anonymity creates, generally, at the very least, unease in the recipient. Particularly if it's, you know, someone telling you you're doing great, or someone giving you a suggestion or on how to do the show or how to help with the mental health thing. The anonymity sits with me very, very uncomfortably. You think, well, why do they want to be... And why don't they want to tell me?
There's a power imbalance, isn't there?
Yeah.
Even if what they're trying to do is reach out a hand. And I think, you know, some of the things you've read there, they're trying to be friendly.
Oh, they're nice, but...
But it's unsettling.
And then when I've specifically called them out and said, I don't like the anonymous thing, who are you? We don't mean it in a mean way. Okay, well, you might not mean it in a mean way, but it's coming over in a very, very... unsettling way. I don't know if you, dear listener, have ever had, if you've been on either end of an anonymous thing, whether you have been the recipient of someone, something anonymous, or you've sent out stuff anonymously. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. 03444991000. And then I got a book sent to me, from Better World Books. The Ode Less Travelled, Unlocking the Poet Within, by Stephen Fry. Because I was saying that poetry is a con the other day. So someone's thought, well, we'll teach him. But there's no name with it. There's no name. No one. It's not from, you know, it's not. And when you order books online, you can generally get a little message included. So here's the thing, right? I don't want this book. So unless the person calls in by the end of the show and tells me who it's from, it's going in that bin.
Oh, no, don't bin it. Just put it on the pile out there.
No.
No, because I'll give it to hospice.
No, please. No, Catherine, no.
Don't bin a book.
No, I'm going to bin this book. I'm going to bin this book because people need to be taught a lesson. I'm sorry if it sits uncomfortably with you, but no, I don't want this book to be of use to anyone. I don't. This book is going to go in the bin. Because you can't do that. You can't send stuff anonymously. It's uncomfortable. And now you've created tension between me and Kath. It's going in the bin, Kath. I'm sorry. I'm going to take it home and throw it in the bin. I'm doing it. And I'm sorry if it makes you feel uncomfortable. I'm sorry if it's not going to go to a hospice. A, it looks like a crap book. But B, I don't want... No. Because that means that they have still achieved something. They've still achieved something.
Well, it's your book.
No, it is my book, exactly. It's my decision. It's going to go home and it's going to go in the bin. It's totally my decision to do that. And I've got no qualms about it whatsoever. No qualms about it. Don't give me puppy dog eyes.
I'm not.
You are a bit. You are a bit.
I'm honestly not.
You are a little bit.
No, I'm honestly not. You do what you think
What I know is right is it's going to go in the bin because I'm not letting people have the power to do so. So if you sent it and you genuinely didn't know that your name wasn't going to be in it or something, then 0344 499 1000. Otherwise, it's going in the bin. It's never going to get read. Look, there's no indication on there. There's nothing. So it's going. It's going in the bin, guys. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
heart. After hours conversation for the up all night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Ah, oh, man, I'm a bit of a fanboy, so I'm a little bit...
That's all right.
I don't Take normally get nervous meeting people, but you're Chris Difford from Squeeze.
Apparently so. At least I was when I last checked.
I loved your book. There was one
Are
bit
we
in...
off and running, by the
We're
way?
Off and running, yeah, this is it. This is happening now.
Oh, cool.
I loved your book. There was a bit in there that I had to read twice because it confused me.
Go on, then.
What the hell were you doing with Brian Ferry? I couldn't work out what your role was with Brian Ferry, because you seem to be ferrying him around in a car and yes. going over lyrics and yes. getting in trouble for bringing girls into the studio.
Yes. Well, it was a wonderful job, really. The first time I went to work with him, my role was lyric doctor. and I got paid to go through heaps and heaps of files that he'd not had the chance to go through
yeah.
and find lyrics that were really good. And there were hundreds of them. It was absolutely brilliant.
Was it literally like books and drawers, stuff with
books,
lyrics?
Books of one-liners and stuff,
wow.
yeah. It was an incredible task. But there was so much going on at the same time, like, would you give me a lift here? Would you do this? Do you fancy lunch? Do you fancy dinner? And then eventually... you know, it became a little bit of a struggle. But then I went back for more, and he made me his personal manager, which I loved. And
That's incredible.
And I really enjoyed working for him. He's such a fantastic bloke.
Well, Brian Ferry is kind of brilliant. And you were a huge Roxy Music fan as well, so that must have
yeah.
been
well,
very
was,
surreal.
I was dribbling every day I went to work, because he's the lyricist that I looked up to.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that he... His eye for detail and his ear for detail was extraordinary. I mean, he would, like, pore over absolutely every detail. And
yeah.
I'm not that kind of bloke, so it took a bit of getting used to.
There was a weird bit as well when he buys you a chauffeur's cap. Was that a joke? That was a joke. That was a Brian Ferry gag, wasn't it?
It was a bit of humour from Brian, which was rare but beautiful.
There's a lovely line in it when you kind of... You've been working with him for yeah. a while, and you're looking in the mirror, and you say, "I used to be in Squeeze."
Yeah.
It seemed I was so surprised. I didn't know any of that side of stuff. It must have been. How did it happen? Did he just phone you up one day and say, "Hey, Chris"?
No, his manager David Entoven is a big friend of mine,
right?
And lifetime mentor. And Brian David said to me, "There's an opportunity for you to come and work with Brian." And, you know, I jumped at the chance. I was completely smitten with him, but very nervous every day, because I couldn't quite tell what he was going to throw at me next. You know, whether it was trees falling in swimming pools or me driving into the ivy for dinner. You know, it was all sorts of things, really.
There's kind of a theme in this book, and we share a couple of things, and we'll get onto that in a bit. But quite often you meet people I would consider to be your peers,
right?
And you don't see it that way. You kind of feel in awe of a lot of people. You talk about being backstage at an Elton John gig, and Elton John obviously is one of the world's biggest superstars.
Yes.
But that you felt out of place a bit there.
Yeah, I've never been that comfortable with the celebrity thing. I mean, I like being around celebrities, and I love the conversations that we get into. You know, just recently I was at Glastonbury and I got into a very long conversation with Johnny Depp for an hour. And
wow.
It was really fascinating to understand him as a human being rather than just that guy that you see on the screen. And we really got to know each other very, very well, it seemed. So I love that kind of getting to know people, but I've never had the money. I don't know what celebrity is in that respect. You know, I can just about afford an expensive candle.
Well, this is it. You say you never had the money, but you spent like you had the money.
Of course, there were
times when you had money,
yeah.
but it didn't last very long because you were just caning it.
I was caning it, Concord everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean one of the funniest stories about being on Concord was there was only two people on it on this one particular flight that I took from Miami back to London.
Wow.
And it was me and Brian Gibb. And we were sitting on the plane and the pilot said, because there's only two of you on the plane, the takeoff is going to be really fast.
Wow.
And it was amazing.
Did you chat to him?
Well, he was coming back to England to see his son at school in a play.
Right. Jeez.
On Concord.
Flipping heck.
As you do.
But you, I mean, obviously the Gibbs, you know, loaded, but you were spending like you were Elton John, and this is what I found interesting. And the thing that we kind of share is because I'm 13 years clean and sober.
That's fantastic.
And I was really enjoying your openness in there because I never really kind of. Mm. You know, I say I don't drink and do drugs anymore, but I never really go into it. And I was enjoying your openness. And I was interested to see that you did what I've done in a different way. Is for me, once the drink and drugs stopped, then it became sex, and then it became spending, and then it became...
Of course.
And you talk about buying things and hiding them in the boot of your car. And I've still got that. I've still got stuff that... I don't do it anywhere near as much as I used to.
Yes.
But stuff that I've ordered off of eBay, still in... The box in the boot of the car.
So have I.
Have you really, still?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, but, you know, the addict lives on and the addict voice in the head will never stop talking to you because you just can't separate yourself from you. And that's very... it's a very dangerous place to be. But the whole... And I'm glad that you've picked up on it. The whole arc of the story for me is about that a young man... who's really ambitious and wants to be in a rock and roll band, but then finds that he suffers from depression, alcoholism, drug addiction, spending, all of those things, but manages to come out the other end and play at Glastonbury with his mates and has a great time.
Mm.
And I think that's the arc of the story to me. It's not about the egos that live within the book.
You know,
they can all think what they want to think about what's been written. What's actually, you know, how you've described the book, it fills me with joy because that's how it's supposed to be read.
It's great. It is a brilliant story of you know, that enthusiasm, that boyhood teenage energy, and I want this, and you know, loss and tragedy and sadness with death and addiction and things like that. Mm. But it ends on a very happy, positive. No, you know, you are now the success that perhaps you always wanted to be. It's how I read it. It's how I interpreted
it. Well, I hope that's the way it comes across. I mean, here we are, Squeeze has just recorded and just about to release our 14th album. Being in a band is just as complicated as it ever was because you're dealing with different emotions. Everybody's got different feelings and they need different things from it. So that's always going to be a complicated thing. But when you sit in the middle of the song on stage and it becomes yours, then that's the joy of it.
Yeah. Are you friends with Glenn now? Because I hadn't realised... there aren't any books about Squeeze, are there, I don't think?
No, not anymore.
Because I devour rock biographies and I've not found one. The relationship between you and Glenn gets very... tense for a long, long time. I just wondered where you're at now. Obviously, been very productive with the Cradle to the Grave album and the new one coming out. But is it a friendship?
I think it's a... We have a love for each other, which is very deep. But there's a lot of... there's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of differences.
Yeah.
And it's understanding the differences and having the courage to change the way you feel about those differences that is a daily challenge. But I think, you know, we have had periods of our lives where we've not been together, and I think those are the periods when we've learned a lot about each other and about ourselves.
Yeah.
If I can only speak for myself, you know, I went off and recorded solo records that I never knew that I could do. And now I can get in front of the microphone and be Chris from Squeeze and not be shy about it and quite like it.
Yeah.
Whereas there were a day when I just hid behind Glenn's shadow and just thought, well, he can do all of that.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid that isn't the way now.
Do you still not know where he lives?
I don't actually. I know vaguely where he lives on a Google map. But I've never been to his house. But that doesn't matter.
No.
That's not important. What's important is to be in the songs that we write. Those are the kind of children that we devour and try to grow. I think that's the most important thing. And with the tour coming up, you know, we've got lots to learn with the new band.
Yeah.
We've got lots to learn about being on stage and how to deal with each other's boundaries.
Yeah,
it's really, really hard after 45 years.
45 years.
We grow up and do different things, and it's true of everybody. I mean, you know, being in a marriage for 45 years, there's not many of those around.
No.
Not many.
Cradle to the Grave was a few years ago. That was with the Danny Baker series,
which was
brilliant books, brilliant series, and a brilliant, brilliant album.
Mm.
You must have been pleased, but were you surprised at the reaction it got? Because it got a huge reaction. It was like, wow, Squeeze are back. And not only they're back, but they're bloody good again.
Yeah, we had a one review in The Guardian after we played the Albert Hall, I think, saying that All I Want to Hear is More New Songs.
Wow.
And, you know, it wasn't like, oh, let's hear Call for Cats and Up the Junction.
Yeah.
Love. It was like, let's hear the new songs. And that was very empowering, you know. Suddenly I thought, yeah, well, why do we want to race through the old ones when we've got all these lovely new ones?
Yeah.
Of course, now we've got the treat of having yet another new album with lots of lovely new songs on, so there's going to be a fine balancing act.
What's the new... Well, the new album comes out in October, I think.
13th of October.
Friday the 13th October. I think it is, because we had some another... We had Narina Palo on, whose album's coming out the same day.
Yeah.
What is it? What is there? Is there a theme to it? How does it work these days? I love that when you first met Glenn...
Mm.
You'd be upstairs and you'd write sheaths of lyrics and then just plonk them on the stairs and he'd take them and go off and write write the music.
Well, January, February of this year, I sat and wrote lyrics in the same way that I would do from in the past. And then I emailed him all of the lyrics.
Yeah.
And then there's radio silence for a bit while Glenn devours them. And then he comes back to me and says that he really likes them. And then he starts writing tunes. And then there was a discussion about how we've got an opportunity to say things politically in a way that we wouldn't have done in the past. My conversation with Glenn was, well, I'm not that guy that can write a political lyric. But Glenn's very good at sort of sharpening his pencil when it comes to that stuff. So what we did was we sort of coexisted within a lyrical form on three songs. One of them's called A&E, which speaks for itself. And another one called Rough Ride, which really is Glenn's song. I've only written a couple of lines on that. But that's, you know, that's a very powerful thing, too. It's about not being able to afford to live in London.
Yeah.
Which is where we all grew up, you know, which is crazy. And our kids are, you know, my two kids, Grace and Sissy, who live in London, they're struggling to pay the rent.
I bet they are.
You know, it's tough up here.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. There was that delicious... Was it the Andrew Marr show?
Yes.
Where you're performing almost a command performance for Prime Minister David Cameron. And Glenn changed the lyrics to have... It was about council houses, wasn't it? Selling off council houses.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
It was delicious and shocking because I didn't know he was
You didn't know he was going to do it?
No, and, you know, at the time I thought, well, why didn't he just ask me? Because I wouldn't have minded. It's like, I don't really care. I'm not a politically minded person. I'm not giving monkeys. But if he wants to do that, that's all well and good. And I have to say, because people assume that I write the lyrics or wrote the lyrics for that, you know, I was high-fiving people down Deptford High Street for weeks. So I took all the glory anyway, which is lovely.
The book is brilliant. Some fantastic place. When you write this, when you write something like this, because it is really honest and it's really open, and that's what I think makes it so good. Did you hold back? Did you feel uncomfortable writing down some of the stuff about, you know, you talk about, everyone has this image of rock and drugs and sex and rock and roll, and you make it sound really awful, the drugs and stuff, which it is. Did you ever feel like holding back from it, or was it always going to be, you're going to just tell the story as it was?
I think there's a few more chapters that I could have added that would have made it even darker if I'd really wanted to. But, you know, you've got to be mindful of other people's feelings. And, you know, I've re-edited the book since it originally came out to take in that into account.
Yeah.
You know, when I delivered the book, I didn't realise how powerful that was, the letting go. It's like letting go. It's like... For those of you out there who understand what step four is, it's something that alcoholics and drug addicts do. They look at their lives and then they read that story to another person in step five. And that's really what this has been. And when I did the audiobook, I found it the most moving thing I've ever done, that whole week of reading it. When I got to the end of it, the guy who was producing it said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "No, I'm simply not all right. I've just been connected to my whole life."
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed my life, you know, so far. The drug taking, drinking, spending, it's all been brilliant. You know, there's nothing to regret. You know? And you know, I'm lucky enough to be in a great band. I've got a wonderful wife and kids. I have pretty much the freedom that I want.
Has it come out yet, the album of demos that you did in the 70s? Yes. That's out now.
Yes, it is on Amazon, and that was amazing. That friend of mine who lived on my council estate recorded me singing some songs in 1972 before I met Glenn.
Yeah.
And then the tapes went missing. And then about 5 years ago, I was doing a gig, and Bob Blatchford, who recorded me, came into the backstage with a Tesco bag and gave me the tapes. And when I listened to them, I went, wow, I'm listening to this guy who's really intent on being in the music game. You know, there's a lot of intent and love in the guy's voice, even though it's wrong.
Yeah.
But I love listening to it. I'm very lucky.
It's just amazing that that stuff turned up again.
It really is, and my friend at Edsel Records, Val Jennings, he said, look, why don't you just put it out, and at the same time as the book, it can accompany the book, and it seems to work very well.
I thought it was on the back. There's the line in there, in the book, about basically the whole of your career turned on 50 pence that you nicked from your mum to put an advert in a shop window. I love that, and that is... That's basically how Squeeze happened, because of that 50 pence.
Yeah, I put an ad in a sweet shop window in 1973 in April, and Glenn was the only person to answer the ad, and here we are, 45 years later.
But the ad was full of hubris as well. Did someone need someone to join a band? Have a record? You said you had a record deal or something.
Well, I lied through my teeth, but then I always lied through my teeth, so it doesn't matter. I live in a fantasy world. The original title for this book was called Off With The Balloons.
Yeah.
And that's where that's where I end up.
Yeah. Do you still enjoy writing? Do you still find it, I don't know, as easy as you did when you were 23, 24 years old?
Lyric writing I love. Yesterday I was writing with Paul Carrack, for instance.
Wow.
And it's a real joy working with him because he's got such an amazing voice. And, recently I've written with lots of different people. I run songwriting camps and I write with people from Nashville and all over the world. So, yeah, I mean, that's just what I do. But now I've got the bug for a book, and I've got an idea for a second
book. Oh, really?
And at the end of the touring, I'm gonna go for some lessons in how to write it, and then I'm gonna have a go at it.
Are we allowed to ask what it is? Is it top secret?
No, not at all. It's very simple, really. It will be, if it comes off, it will be a book of short stories based on the songs that I've written.
Oh, brilliant! Because you do a brilliant blog as well, don't you? Detailing the ups and downs, the highs, and indeed the lows.
Yes.
Of being on tour.
Yeah. And there are lots of ups and there are lots of... for me anyway, you know, I struggle being that guy in a band sometimes.
Yeah, I bet.
It takes a lot of doing for me. I'm not a natural guy when it comes to it, but there is joy in it. And I have to say that, you know, playing at Glastonbury last year with Squeeze was the peak experience of all of that, being on stage and just being in the middle of those songs and being in the relationship with the band. And, you know, when the clock ticked down and we had, like, 2 minutes left on stage, everybody started to well up on stage.
Yeah,
I bet. It was an extraordinary feeling. And for me, I wanted to put that in the book, and I wanted the book to come out at this time to celebrate not only 25 years of sobriety, but, you know, that journey for the band, because I don't think it gets much better than the Pyramid stage.
Yeah. Do you know how much affection there is for you and Squeeze?
Yeah, I do feel it, and it's a lovely thing. And, you know, when I've been going around talking about the book, I get nice feedback from people, and people... You know, I've always thought of Squeeze being a bit like the family cat. It comes in and out of the hatch every now and again, eats some food, and then disappears again. And that's really what we are, I think.
Because when I said you were coming on, so many people go, oh, brilliant, fantastic, you know, ask him this, ask him that. I'm glad that you're aware that there's that affection for you and Glenn and the songs that you have crafted through the years, you know, because I do worry, listen to me, but I do think sometimes that artists perhaps don't know that, you know, that people love them and... People love you, Chris, is what I'm trying to say. People love you, and people love Squeeze, and that you have done great work.
I get that. Whenever we play a gig, I get that love. It's a wonderful thing, and it's not to be neglected, and it's not to be messed around with. It is what it is.
Yeah,
you know, we're very lucky at our age to be in this place. You know, it should be stress free. It should be lovely. It should be fun, and it should be all of those things.
Where's the tour? What's happening with the tour?
Well, the tour's doing really well, and we start in a couple of weeks' time. We got some warm-up shows, and then we go to Birmingham, two nights there. Then we got Liverpool, Manchester, London, the Albert Hall.
Wow, fantastic.
And the O2 in London at the smaller venue, I can't remember, the Indigo. And then we go to America for 3 weeks, I think. And then at the end of that? Who knows? I think we'll probably sleep for 6 months and then possibly tour next summer.
I think we're going to try and come to the Royal Albert Hall to come and see you. Yeah. The book is a joy. Final thing, there's that you write. I mean, it's just so beautiful when you're describing when you were in a gang. Mm. And they all wanted to mug someone. You mugged a lady. Mm. And you describe beautifully how awful you felt doing it and how as it was happening, you realised this was not... This wasn't you. This was not the life you were going to take.
No.
And thank God.
Yeah, well, you know, two of my friends that were in the gang at the time are dead. And a couple of them are still in prison. But, you know, I had a... You know, being in a skinhead gang was, what was it? It was kind of, it bound me up in music and fashion at the time because we were skinhead. So we used to dress nicely and we used to go to clubs and dance and chat up birds. And it was a lovely thing, you know. So it gave me the rhythm that I still have. And, you know, I'm glad I never followed the other guys. And in fact, I met a couple of skinhead friends couple of years back and they said you were a bit of an odd sod, you know, you used to sit around writing poetry while we were kicking people's heads in. And I said, yeah, well, I think I got the better gig.
I think you made the right choice. Finally, what are you listening to at the moment? Are you listening to anything? Have you got any, you mainly listen to stuff in your car. Have you got anything good on at the moment?
Well, Laura Marling I've been listening a lot to because I saw her at Glastonbury this year and I was really taken by her lyrical prowess. I thought it was brilliant. So, yeah, I'm deep within her songs. She's kind of like a Joni Mitchell to me, that kind of style. But other than that, I listen to a lot of jazz because I love jazz and, you know, I'd like to make a jazz album myself.
Now, have you always liked jazz? Because I'm 44. I was 44 this year and I've never liked jazz. But just suddenly as I've turned 44, suddenly I'm starting to get a little bit... I think it's an old man's music. I don't mean that disrespectfully. But I've always hated it and poo-pooed jazz. And now suddenly, I wouldn't mind checking some of that stuff out.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that. It's just challenging music.
Right.
It can take you in somewhere where pop music or rock music can't take you.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, that's really important. There's a new song on the Squeeze album. There's a couple of new songs on the Squeeze album which are challenging. One of them does lean towards the jazz. And I think, you know, musically and lyrically, I think as you get older, you need to spread your wings and be in something different. And, you know, I've met Jamie Cullum a couple of times and I love the way that he manipulates those old-fashioned songs, that he makes them his own.
The book, Chris Difford, Some Fantastic Place, My Life in and Out of Squeeze, is out now. I was telling you as we came up the stairs, we only got the book a couple of days ago. So to make sure I'd read it before you came in, I was alternating between reading the book and listening to your dulcet tones whispering in my ears.
Thank you.
And it was a joy. What's the name of the album that comes out in October?
The Knowledge.
The Knowledge.
Well worth pre-ordering if you can.
Oh, for goodness sakes, pre-order it. And the tour dates. And what's the best website to find out all of these bits and pieces?
Well, squeezeofficial.com is where you can find all the Squeeze information. And chrisdifford.com is where you can find all the Chris Difford information. But they cross-pollinate, so they're the same wasps.
Do wasps pollinate?
No.
Okay. I shall tweet all of this. Chris, honestly, it's such a thrill to meet you, man. Thank you for all of the songs, and thank you for this wonderful book. Thanks a lot.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
I think are we live?
We are.
I had a wobble. I don't feel very well. So we played Chris Difford from last year, but I was 44. Imagine being as young and as sweet as 44. Sometimes I get really self-conscious and I can't remember how to do this, this job, this show, and I can't remember how to do this job. Don't remember how to do it. We will struggle on. We'll make it to 1 o'clock when Paul Ross will come in and do his thing, and then we're all going to go home, we're going to go to bed, and we will never, ever mention this ever again. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You can give us a call about anything. Here's the problem. I went for a run today for the first time in Well, maybe not in that long. Maybe in a year. For the first time in a year. Because I'm fat and I'm old and I'm unfit and I can't keep up with my kids and I got tits. And by the way, I can't keep up with my kids and I got tits is the title of my autobiography that's coming out later in the year. So I've been thinking for ages, I'm gonna start running. And my friend Simon came over at the weekend and he's you know, never been particularly fit, but he started running, saying, oh man, I'm gonna do it. So I re-downloaded, because I had one last year and I did it for a bit, and then I stopped. One of those couch to 5K apps. And I was just lying in bed today and I couldn't get up. I just couldn't get up. And I was just thinking, oh, God. And I made myself get up to go for this run. On the first... I'll play you some of the app, because you can hear the kind of nonsense that you have to put up with. So it's the first one. So it's pretty pretty simple stuff. There's not actually. So this is. I don't want that. Stop sending me pop-ups. So this.
Begin with a 5-minute warm-up walk.
Okay.
I still like that bit.
That was the bit. So you start off, so it's 30 minutes. No, 25 minutes, right? And the first 5 minutes is, you just go for a walk. Beautiful. And then after 5 minutes...
Start running.
You'll run for a minute. And then throughout it, she goes, you're doing great. Huh? Keep at it. Jesus. And then the next bit.
Slow down and walk.
Okay, I like this bit. So you walk for a minute and a half. So you do, you run, walk for 5 minutes, run for a minute, walk for a minute and a half.
Start running.
And you run for a minute.
Slow down and walk.
Okay, you do that.
Start running.
Okay.
Slow down and start running.
Oh, jeez. And it's just, it was so painful. So you only run in for about 7 minutes in the whole thing. Let me stop that because I've done that one. I don't...
You've reached the halfway point.
Right, thanks very much. Okay, and I'm ending that workout. And it was just, oh, it was torture. I was running for about 7 minutes in total with massive breaks in between. And I've got, because I don't, you know, I'm doing it in sort of the countryside, sort of the farm. But I had a hat, had my hat pulled down. And any time traffic, a car came past me, I'd sort of look down. I don't want to get recognised. I don't want to be recognised. And I don't want to be recognised looking fat and puffy and sweaty and out of breath. That's not the look. That's not the look that I'm going for. So I did that. And I got home and I just wanted to die. I can feel, I know tomorrow I'm going to feel it. Because I can feel it tonight. My legs... getting stiff and tired, and I'm kind of thinking, I'm not going to do it tomorrow, because you don't do it every day. My head, I'm sort of planning Friday, because if I don't do it Friday, I won't be able to do it till Sunday evening, and I'll be too tired Sunday evening. So I'm thinking Friday, and already I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, I just can't be bothered. What's the point, really, of going out? Well, the point is, I'm fat, and I got tits, and I'm unfit. That's it, that's the point. And I need to change that. But man, it was horrible. You're not a runner, are you?
No, and I tried that, and I did the couch to 5K. I think I got today. I might have done it for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to the proper running part. I just can't do it. And the other thing was, right, no one's going to recognise me. No one gives two hoots about me. But I felt really self-conscious about it because I'm just not a good runner. And when I'm running, you can see on my face that I'm concentrating on not stopping.
My tracksuit trousers are too short as well.
Ah, I mean, underwear...
Looks like my hems had a row with my ankles.
And my underwear was, like, creeping up places where it shouldn't have done. And I tried Commando. That didn't work either.
Gosh.
I bought running pants. I've never worn them because by that time I was like, sod this. Wow. This is just not for me. But, you know, at the end it'll show a little map of where you've been. And some people put it on, like... Facebook to show off. Mine was always, I was always diving into the undergrowth. As soon as I saw someone coming in the opposite direction, I would just disappear.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to just be by myself and do it by myself, because I knew that I was a sweaty mess.
It's
but you know what? No one gives no monkeys one cares. Really, do they?
But I travel. I journeyed 3.3 kilometres. But that's not far, and I was walking.
I do kind of wonder whether it's any better for you than just walking fast.
Well, yeah, I got into my walking, but I just can't lose any flipping weight. I know you said I'm Mars bar, I need a little bit of sugar. But I came back, I had some scrambled eggs on a little bit of granary bread. There's the voice again. I need to lose some weight, and I don't know. I can't seem to shift it. And when I came off those pills that were making me fat, I dropped a stone in like 3 weeks, and then I just put it on again. So,
no, I don't think you're as big as you were.
No, I'm not as big as I was in the... I haven't weighed myself for ages. I'm not... I would doubt I'm 16 stone, but I'm well over 15 and a half. I'm approaching 16 stone. And then I'm also looking at maybe doing a bit of yoga. I'm going to go and do some yoga, because that's good for you physically and good for you mentally, and it'd be nice to go and do something like that. But the only times... I've done yoga a few times. One was when I was a member of this gym, and you get all the classes for free, and yoga would always be booked up. But I got in there a couple of times, and there'd be like 40 people in there. And of course, I was the only bloke. No other blokes in there. Why don't blokes do yoga? I don't get that. There were no other blokes in there. And I was at the back of the class, and I couldn't do it. And it hurt. And I was out of breath, because yoga's physical and exhausting. But I didn't care. And I did it. I enjoyed it. So I'm kind of looking at yoga classes where I am. But I found two, and one is £10 and one is £11. But part of me thinks that's expensive, because the gym I was in was £20 a month and you got all the classes for free. And I don't think there's anything like that where I'm living at the moment. But that's like suddenly you're paying £45 a month to, have a very toned woman shouting at you, basically.
Oh. Do they shout?
Well, it felt like shouting. They're probably talking to you in a car. But they do that thing when they walk around, don't they? And then they just give you a little push on the shoulder, so you go down another inch.
Yeah.
Oh, flipping heck.
When I really got to get back to one of Brendan's classes. My mate Brendan does a yoga class, and he's very zen. He's a hippie, and it's just brilliant. You do it all with your eyes closed. No one's looking at each other.
I can't balance, though. I can't balance with my eyes open, so balancing with my eyes closed would be impossible to do. But is £10, is that okay for? I mean, I can't really afford it at the moment, but is £10, is that 03444991000? Just tell me how much. Is £10 good for yoga? Or is that expensive? I don't know. I don't know what the going rate is for these things. But the hardest thing is that just rocking up. And well, once it started, I don't care, but it's rocking up and it's standing in the room waiting for it to start. That's the bit I hate. And then there's people stood there.
I'll go with you if you want.
Right. Well, no, because the one I'm looking at, they're all in the evening. The one I'm looking at is like 9 o'clock on a Friday morning. You wouldn't be able to make it in time. You'll take your kids to school. But and also I've got that thing of I don't want to be recognised. So I was in a charity shop the other day, and this woman was working there, and she came out. She went, "Hello." "Oh, hello! Can I shake your hand?" I went, "Yeah," and I got out. Because I don't. Some places, and not anything against charity shops. I mean, charity shops all the time. I love charity shops. I love it. I love a good rummage. And at the car boot sale at the weekend. Just a little bit of nudging and pointing, and sometimes you just...
I know, and you're not feeling it. You're not feeling Mr. Showbiz at the moment.
When you're not feeling it, you don't want to, you don't want to do it. Well, there you go. We filled that 20 minutes. I don't know, I feel a little bit... I feel really self-conscious is how I feel, and it's hard to do a free-flowing performance of jazz music when you're feeling self-conscious. So the next hour is going to be adequate, I guess. It's going to be an adequate hour, and then we'll see. You can call in. Don't be scared to call in just because I'm nuts. It's not contagious. 03 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. 0344 499 1000. Cost you pennies at the most, probably free. You speak to Sam and he calls you back immediately anyway. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Last hour of the show. We had a little wobble in the last hour. Just kind of sunk. I'm in a weird space, man. It turns out, you know, here's the thing. Let me say, Carol and Louise, stay there. Here's the thing. Right, you know, divorce. Turns out it's really, really, really stressful. Really stressful. And everyone talks about it and bandies it around as a word. And it happened to your mum and dad and it happened to your mates and all of this. It turns out, right, that the D word is way more stressful than we would ever imagine in a million years. When you're staring down the barrel of it, when you spent thousands of pounds on a solicitor, when your kid's future is at stake, when you're living, you've been living in a room for 2 years and not had any money that you can really access because you don't know how much money you've got, when you finally move into somewhere that's actually quite a bit further away from your kids than you'd like, when you want to be a responsible adult, and a responsible parent and a responsible ex and pay your fair share and then some, the whole thing is stressful. And then there's the loneliness, man. Sweet Jesus. The loneliness of going home every night, going home and looking on Twitter because I don't have Twitter on my phone and see what I've missed in the hour and a half that it's taken me to get home and thinking and listening to a little bit of Paul Ross and a little bit of Dotton and then watching something on YouTube and thinking, well, I guess I should really go up to bed now and go to sleep. And the cat is there telling you to go up and go to bed. And you go, well, I guess I should go up and go to bed. But you know what? There's no one up there in the bed to go up there to. And I go up to bed and I do a pee and I put my pyjamas on and I put my eye mask on and I have my phone on with the timer so that it switches off after an hour because I like to fall asleep listening to the radio and there's no one there and it's a bit lonely. That's what I'm saying, Kath. It's lonely, man. And then you get up. And you wait. Well, you wake up, and it's like 9 o'clock, and you think, ah, I haven't got to be up now. I'm going to go back to sleep. You go back to sleep, and then you wake up, and it's 11:30, and you think, ah, I haven't got any reason to get up. I have tomorrow. I've got to be in London at midday. But you think, I haven't got any reason to get up. I'm just going to stay in bed. You stay in bed for a bit. And then you go, ah, I might as well get up. And you go downstairs, and you look at Twitter, because you haven't got Twitter on your phone. And then you find yourself like an hour's passed and you sat there with a coffee looking at Twitter. What is that? Looking at Twitter, looking how many tickets you've sold, looking at Facebook, going back to Twitter, looking at a forum being rude about someone. What life is that? And the cat's there and you clean the cat shit out of the cat litter and... Well, you think, is there a meeting on nearby? It's too late. I missed a meeting that was 45 minutes away. That's it. That's my existence at the moment. It sucks a bit, really. You'll be all right, but it just sucks a bit. Then you come in and you do this, which is great. You get to work with Catherine Boyle, my best mate, which is lovely. But it's just a bit lonely at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't be sad.
I am sad.
Why are you sad? For me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, come on. I deserve it. I was a terrible husband. It's my fault. I messed up. But I can't even be bothered to turn on my PlayStation. I can't be bothered to turn on my PlayStation.
You will.
I did today. I listened, because I moved my stereo into the living room, and I got a new Dan Hicks album. So I listened to a bit of Dan Hicks and read a bit from my NA book. Because that's a good thing to do. Chapter 8, we do recover. But it's just... You know, it's that. Don't be sad for me. It's going to be... I'm going to get some fighting dogs. And I'm going to keep them in separate rooms. And then I'm going to invite the lads round. And we're going to have a dog fighting session.
then we're going to have a cockfight, but not with birds. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number.
You said the magic word, you know he's going to appear.
Good evening, Carol.
Hi, Ian.
Ever seen two cocks fight?
No, but I have seen two together. But my friend has chickens, and I don't like cockles because they can't shut up.
No, they can't. And
you just got called home from the pub, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and squawking and carrying on. So I'm not a morning girl.
Someone said,
otherwise, I won't be listening to you.
No, exactly. You're a nighttime good. You're a nighttime good time girl.
Yeah, but in between, I'm chronically sick and disabled, and I have
chronically perverted.
I'm not. I'm a normal lady.
Your disability is your insatiable sexual appetite. Can you get a blue badge for that?
I tell you what.
That's why you need a cane.
I tell you what. You won't believe. I had to go to the nurse for my smear test, and they said, ask you how many sexual partners have you had, and all this, all these intimate questions before they stick the thing.
Don't they just have a box over 50, and you just tick that?
Well, I said I haven't been with anybody. I said. Margaret, I think it's healed over.
Oh.
Can you see? Yeah. You want my and I said, why do you? She said, have you got anybody? I said, no.
Oh.
She said, I said, why do you know anybody? Because you've been married twice. Have you got any leftovers that you can? And do you know what I thought?
Yeah.
The best way for a sexual partner now, because I've been divorced, I've had the big D. Well, mine was more of a dumped when I was poorly kind of divorced.
Yeah.
But, he's a nasty.
Well, James on Twitter is suggesting that we could maybe join Talk Radio Singles.
No, do not go on a dating agency.
Unless, of course, it's the one we're advertising right now, in which case,
another
sign
person
up.
At the moment
I don't want to get mithered. I want to get licked. I want to get licked. I don't even want to get licked. I don't want to get mithered. I'm not sure what mithering is.
You know what mithered is.
It's a northern word.
Go on, Kath. What is mithering?
Pestered and bothered.
Yes.
And given headaches.
Oh, I don't... Yeah. I don't know what I want, Carol.
What kids do to you in the supermarket? Oh, can I have this? Can I... Stop mithering me.
Shut up, kids!
Yeah. I was just going to say to you...
Yes?
There is a big difference between loneliness and aloneness.
Yes, aloneness.
Aloneness is different from loneliness.
Well, one of them's a real word.
Well, loneliness, and then there's being on your own, aloneness.
Oh, but you can feel loneliness in a room full of 5,000 people.
Correct.
Yes.
But aloneness is feeling like, because you feel a bit shit today, don't you, to be honest?
Yes, I do.
I've been there loads of times, but not in your head.
No.
So I can only say that I'm sending you some...
used underwear.
Healing thoughts and some cuddly, huggy thoughts. And
thank you.
I'm giving you a phone hug and saying, don't worry about it.
Thank you. You're a good spirit and a good woman, Carol. Hey, you live in Swindon. Do you live in Swindon?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Do you see Andy Partridge swanning around from time to time?
No, because I don't go into town a lot. I don't even know where he lives.
But you know where he is, don't you?
Yeah, he's XDC fella, isn't he?
Yeah, Carol knows, yeah. Carol was of that generation.
I've seen more bands. I've forgotten. I've seen more bands than most people have ever been to.
Yeah.
I started going to gigs when I was 14, and I've never stopped.
Where have you always lived in Swindon?
No. Well, mostly when I've been going to gigs.
Yeah.
So I moved down from Rochdale when I was still at school, and I thought, I don't like this. Nobody lives here.
Yeah, Swindon's an odd one.
Because I wasn't in the Swindon town. I was, like, stuck in a field next to some cows. And I thought, where's the pot cobblestones gone and all that? And I hated it. My life fell off the cliff when I moved house. But...
As a kid?
I was going to say about all this going to the gym, £10, is it too much? Why don't you get... Have you got a telly with a DVD in your place?
I've got a telly and I've got a DVD player, yes.
Well, get yourself, when you're in the chat, get yourself a yoga beginner's DVD.
Well, here's the thing. Loads of people have just tweeted to me, Carol, that you can do yoga on YouTube. So I've just ordered a yoga mat for £8. I'm going to do it in my living room. Come round, Kath, and do yoga with me.
I will. I'll fetch me mat and I'll do it with you, because I'm the only reason I'm not that worse than I am now
is yoga.
Is because I used to do yoga when I was 20 in my lunch break.
Well, both of you are invited round. I've just found on YouTube naked yoga. So both of you are invited.
No, don't go into that.
No.
No, because it ruins your concentration.
Well, and also if you
imagine
fall back and
being
land
in a room with
control.
Naked people trying to do yoga.
I imagine it every day.
Oh, no, it's not sexy. They'd be blowing off.
Yeah, it makes you fart. And all this. But you don't try. Remember that it took a long time for you to get where you are now.
Yeah.
So you can't lose weight by next week. What you got to do is set yourself a target, because whilst I was not listening to you today, because you weren't on, I was looking, because I thought, I bet he's made that up, come to Bath. And I found out it's actually really on.
Yeah, no, if you can get there, we'll give you two, we'll put name on the door, two free tickets.
I'll sort it out.
Good, we want you to come.
I'll be not there, but I want you... Between now and November the 17th.
That's when it is, isn't it? Well done. I was just Googling it.
So we're kind of halfway. It's a couple of months, isn't it?
Yeah, November the 17th, the Rondo Theatre. IanLee.com/event if you want tickets.
Yes, I've looked it all up. You said I could come for nothing.
Yeah, you can.
You and a mate of yours, you can get in for absolutely now. That's our promise.
Brilliant. Well, you know who I am, what? Because you've seen me.
Smell you.
We'll get in more stuff.
We'll get you to sit on a chair upside down.
That way we'll recognise you, yes.
Well, yeah, I can do that. Well, it's very good, because when you get knocking on a bit, if you have a photograph of your head upside down, all your wrinkles still up.
Well, apart from one.
It's like the best instant facelift, but it's a bit inconvenient if you're like going to a wedding because you've got to try and do an handstand or something, you know. But I can't often be, I'm too wrinkly to be in the daughter. But you have to. I want to see you.
Yeah.
When I come down to Bath and you come up to Bath, I would like you to try your hardest best to lose. £3.
Huh? I can do that. I can do that by having a dump.
October.
£3 is a good dump. I can do that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about not putting it back on.
Oh, well, okay. I don't know if I should.
I want to see you £6 lighter.
You got it. You got it, baby.
Is that a deal?
You got it. I'm going to chop an arm off. Now, Catherine and I are coming we are coming to Swindon in October.
What for?
For an orgy
with you.
Here?
Oh, it's shit.
No.
Waitrose, you know.
We're going to go and see.
Waitrose in this. That's like putting a rose on a turd.
We are going. Waitrose in Swindon is like a rose on a turd. We're going to see a show at the Swindon Arts Centre.
Oh, wait, what are we seeing?
Half of XTC.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, are you? Is there any tickets left?
I think it's sold out.
I can get a... Tell them
Carol's coming. Tidal wave.
I can get a free ticket because I can take somebody as a carer for nothing.
Okay.
So you only have to put on your guest list.
No, it's not. It's not. We're not doing the show in Swindon. We're coming to see you.
I know, but you're going to be. Well, why don't you come round to my house afterwards? I'll come see you somewhere.
I'm scared that you'll devour us.
Don't be so daft. I've got a busted hip. I can hardly stand up.
Okay.
Well, never mind devour you.
Okay. Well, Carol, we look forward to seeing
you. Come to my house. I don't live very far. I can come and get you.
No, it's okay. No, we look forward to seeing. We look forward to seeing you in November in Bath.
Well, I might be hanging around outside waiting for an autograph now.
Thanks for calling, Carol. Love you. Bye. Oh my God.
What have you done?
Oh no! I gave away our itinerary. 03444991000 Talk Radio.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nutjob, but not that kind of nutjob.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
I think every gentleman from the age of 16 to 78 is thinking the same thing about Carol. Aren't you guys? Okay. Let's go to Louise.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
I'm not going to ask how you are because, well, you're not having a good day. But hopefully tomorrow will be better.
Hey.
That's also why I'm ringing in. So that is because I'd like to share my day with you, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Where do I start? I've been more than open with you about, you know, my addiction and all that kind of stuff, but I've suffered from quite serious depression since my mid-teens. And it's something that I've sort of learned to live with, you know, throughout my life. I have ups and downs. Some downs are crippling. And this past couple of months, they haven't been good at all, but you know, I've been putting the face on and all that stuff. Today, I decided that I was going to clear out and blow my stairs.
Do you mean literally the area under your stairs, or is that, I don't know if that's an Irish phrase for the doodah.
No.
You're not cleaning
literally,
up? You weren't having a shave?
I could do with one.
Okay.
Me too.
Yeah. I can't find the charger for my clippers, and I want to shave all of my pubes off again.
Oh God!
I really do. After watching Four in a Bed, I don't want to have any pubic hair.
No one's going to come inspecting your mattress.
Well, you never know. I'm thinking of either going on Airbnb or getting a lodger.
Airbnb.
Yeah. So I need to shave my balls. But you mean actually the underneath the devices that you get this right, Louise?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about stairs the other day because I'm fascinated by stairs, and Kath says I had a loft conversion put in my house a few years ago, a house I lived in, and I said when they put in the stairs it was amazing, and she said, how do they do it? Do they start at the top? Do they start at the bottom? Or do they meet in the middle? And I said, what?
I knew as soon as I'd said it.
She said, when they put the stairs in, do they start at the top? Do they start at the bottom? Or do they meet in the middle? So Catherine thought that they built one stair at a time.
Oh, God.
Now, here's the thing.
I've never seen it done.
When you get stairs fitted, the stairs come. The stairs are made. They bring the stairs in, and the stairs are hollow. The stairs are quite light because it's just a hollow bit of wood.
There's nothing underneath it.
Yeah.
But, and they come in, they've measured it all up. This, you generally, you, most places, if you're just replacing stairs, you can buy them ready-made. For a loft conversion, generally, you have to get them custom-built. And the stairs come in.
And they start at the top.
No, they don't. And they twist it and they do it, and then they slot it in like
they
a jigsaw
slot
piece.
Them in.
They slot the stairs in.
Well, how boring.
And then they stick it to the wall with blue tack. And there you've got your stairs.
And duct tape.
Yeah, duct tape. And you've got your stairs. And that's how stairs work.
Well, they're doing it wrong.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, sorry, carry on. You were talking about your stairs.
Sorry.
I'm going to show... Hang on a minute. I'm going to show Kath... look, I'm going to show Kath some stairs, right, that you can buy. Look, those are stairs.
No, that's a bookshelf.
No, Stairbox straight staircase, fully assembled, £155. Stairbox bottom three winder. Stairbox top. Look, those are stairs. Those are stairs. Stairbox mid six winder staircase with balustrade. They're stairs.
Yeah.
Look, they put the flipping stairs in.
That's a ladder.
It's not. That's what stairs are. They're like a posh ladder. They're a posh 3D ladder. That's all they are. And there's one step.
See?
You got it?
Right. I would get 13 of them and I'd start at the top and the bottom at the same time I'd see where we got in the middle.
Anyway, Louise.
Oh, that's cheered me up, Noanne. Thank you.
You're very, very, very welcome. What I don't know about stairs... You could write on a stair. My favourite thing, you don't get it anymore because people are lazy. And it took me years to work out what they were. Because you'd read old-fashioned books, right, describing a storm. And the rain came down like stair rods.
Yeah.
That is a great phrase. Sam's face looks like we're speaking another language. Just the olden days. The rain came down like stair rods. As a kid, I'm thinking... I don't know what steroids was. And it was about 10 years ago. I was in an old place and I looked at some stairs and I went, oh, they're steroids.
Yeah.
And it's when you've got a carpet that doesn't cover the whole thing. It's like a rug up the stairs. Mm-hmm. And the rods are like the brass rods that fix the carpet to the stairs. Steroids.
They're like lying down railings.
It's like it's like sealing wax. I thought sealing wax was the came from the ceiling. But sealing wax, it's sealing, S-E-A-L. It's that thing, those little things, and they put it on the back of a thing and you leave that sealing wax.
I misread mothballs for years. I thought they were mouthballs.
I thought a copse was a corpse. I remember reading a Doctor Who book and they kept going and I thought there's a lot of dead bodies in here that aren't being explained. They hid in the copse. Thought that's weird. Ugh. But it was just a bit of grass.
And I did wonder what a Cenobitch was.
Oh. Anyway, Louise, yes, your stairs.
Yeah, so in below the stairs that were slotted in manually, I would assume.
Again, now I'm confused as to what we're talking about. Her stairs or...
God, really?
Again, is this another Irish phrase?
Keep talking, for God's sake.
Slot it in manually. I wonder if one day...
What? Do we want to hear this?
Permission to speak very, very freely and very crudely, Louise.
God.
Grant it.
The toughest bit about sex is, I'm gonna say it, is the insertion.
I would agree.
It's the toughest bit because everything...
You're kind of talking about sort of trying to get it in there.
Oh, not that! And everything has to stop. So you're kissing... Right, just hang on a second. I've just got to look. Right, there, go.
Down a bit.
Can they... This is what I think. Can they invent a machine...
What?
...that grabs your old fella...
Well, like threading a needle?
Yes. Can they invent a machine to thread the needle?
Why don't you just get better at it?
I don't get much practice. I had too much practice, and now I don't get much practice. And also... I don't really want to be fiddling with the ladies downstairs, okay? Let you should be dealing with that, women. it's your problem. It's your issues. Nothing to do with me.
You know, like you can get like that parking assist now.
Hey, That's another thing. Here's an invention. This is a genuine invention. This is going to make us millions. All three of us. Are you, no. Yes. You've got on the headboard, you've got a screen. You've got a monitor.
Yeah.
And that is relaying the camera that's attached to your penis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hey, Dion's got one of them.
Yeah, we go. You
a
see
a pen cam,
a pen cam, and it's relaying it. So you can you're looking at the headboard. So you're almost making eye contact with the lady, and you're like, oh, here we go, wallop, bishy bashy boshy,
wallop, how romantic,
wallop, we are in.
And then she goes, is it in yet?
No. And then it could also be used for reverse parking as well, if you catch my drizzle. Now, Louise, please, we're running out of time. Can we get to the point of this call? But you've just taken us down an avenue of filth.
Oh, that has cheered me up, though. Clear night and below the stairs. And over the years...
Literally
I had
the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Just to late listening.
I had no idea over 10 or so years how many shoes I had collected. And it sounds so stupid, yeah. You know, shoes.
Yeah.
But it was over 4 bin bags worth. And I'm never going to wear them again.
I'm never going to dance again.
Oh, well, do you know something? I'm not.
Oh.
Literally.
Dance for me.
Just with the way my back is, I can't wear heels anymore.
Sonny has just tweeted, I was in my late 20s before I realised that the saying to make ends meet wasn't to make hens meet. M-E-A-T. To make hens meet.
To make hens meet.
Yeah.
There's a phone for you.
I'm retweeting that, you plum. Well done, Sonny. That's
a phone in for you. Misunderstood things.
So you got shoes, you got four bags of shoes and you're never going to dance again.
I'm never going to be able to wear them again, you know, because most of them have heels on them. You know, something so stupid like that. It was a punch in the guts, because every now and again you get just one stupid wee thing that makes you realise that, you know, because of your back or whatever, that, you know, your life's basically changed.
Yeah.
You know, I know I'm not in the same position. I'm nowhere near as bad as, you know, most other people that are suffering from disabilities and what have you. But it's just...
What did you do with the shoes? Did you burn them?
I'm going to stick them on Facebook Marketplace and sell them as a job lot. Try and make money out of them.
There we go. Make a few quid.
I might as well.
The shoes. Louise, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for telling us the Irish, the old Irish phrase about having a rummage under the stairs, what that actually means, Louise. Thank you very much indeed for that. I feel part of the Irish community now, although they're actually part of Great Britain.
Wow.
Yep, there we go. The Northern Ireland is.
Yeah.
It's not controversial. Thank you, Liz. That's not controversial. That's a fact.
Well, you call them Irishes. They're Northern Irish.
All right, well, I'm just abbreviating it.
Well, don't abbreviate it. That causes a lot of hassle.
God, dearie me. Every time we mention Ireland, it's just like we just have troubles, don't we?
Oh, no, don't. No, don't.
I've never known troubles like it.
Stop.
I won't be mentioning Ireland again because it's not worth the troubles. Right. 03. 03. That's the one, isn't it?
It's the one.
That's the one that's sung. Now, it's too late now. It was like a minute ago that someone came in, did an impersonation of me and made those abusive...
Oh, yeah, hacked. They hacked the show.
Hacked. That was it. You're in so much trouble, Sam.
The wild man of late night radio.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Can you get... Have you got that Matthew Wright trail again? Can you access that? The one we just played, because I thought I heard the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. But Matthew's a smart. We got it.
Let's play, because I thought I heard the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. Play it again and keep the mics open.
Introducing Talk Radio's incredible new super signing, Matthew Wright.
Great signing.
Right now.
We'll be looking at the ongoing Brexit stumbling block that is Northern Ireland.
Tough
with
one,
that renowned
yeah.
political thinker, Brian McFadden, him out of Westlife.
Quite a good
I want to know if racism would still exist if we were all blind.
What?
I want to know if racism would still exist if we were all blind? What the hell? Is that the dumbest? Now, that's an accidental partridge. Is that the dumbest thing? I'm not saying it because I've got beef with Matthew. I don't really care either way. But is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life? The answer, Matthew, is yes. Next. What? Of course it would, because...
If a racist tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, did it happen? Yes.
Yes, it did. Racism still exists if we were all... First of all, what is this hideous, blind world that you're fantasising about? What is going to make the whole of the population go blind? And also... This is just nuts on so... Am I wrong? Nuts on so many levels.
The eyes are the problem. The eyes are the problem.
Oh, man alive.
Wow.
03444991000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, the question I want to know is, would racism still exist if we were all blind? Would turds still stink if none of us had noses? So that's what I want to know. Would the Beatles have sold so many records if we were all deaf? 0344-499-1000. Would we eat as much food if we didn't have mouths? Give us a call now. 0344-499-1000. Would gloves have been invented if we hadn't got fingers? This is the Matthew Wright Show. Nuts, isn't it? I mean, that is proper.
Did that go through a meeting? That agrees?
I mean, it's better than what's your... favourite opal fruit or whatever, but only just.
That's next week. It was wine gum anyway.
Oh, God. This is what I wanted to talk about. Opera. I'm thinking of getting into opera.
I tried that.
But I don't know, I don't know where to start.
Maria Callas.
Well, there's no need to be mean about it.
Oh.
That's not bad.
That's our first opera joke.
For £1,400 each, the Holidaymakers expected Andrea Bocelli
yes.
singing his hits. Instead, they got a boring opera about an executed poet. The advert boasted that fans of Andrea Bocelli... That's a man.
Andrea Bocelli.
That's a man,
yeah.
Is it?
Italian man.
Would be treated...
He's blind. I wonder if he's racist.
The advert... Well, it's a simple thing. Just phone up. Get Manny on the phone. Manny, are you a racist? Yes or no? Whatever answer you give us. Shouting because he's blind. Whatever answer you give us, that will be the answer for Matthew Wright tomorrow. The advert boasted that fans of Andrea Bocelli would be treated to a spectacular summer concert in the beautiful Tuscan countryside with the Italian singer and special guests. But a group of British tourists who shelled out almost £1,400 each for the trip and were expecting to see the likes of Ed Sheeran and Barbara Streisand.
Uh-huh.
Remember when people used to call her Barbara Streisand?
No.
I remember someone in my local newsagents 30 years ago put on the little thing, pair of tickets for Barbara Streisand.
Well, maybe it was a tribute act.
Could be. On stage with the tenor, were left bitterly disappointed. Not only did Bocelli, who sings both popular songs and classical music, appear only fleetingly, but there were no other stars in the show. On top of that, rather than the tenor's greatest hits, the performance was an opera about an executed French poet that few of the audience had heard of. Anita Lowe, 62, went on the 11-night excursion. Oh, it's 11 nights for £1,400. That's not...
So, I mean, and this will have been, what, a couple of hours, tops?
Yeah. With the husband, Christopher, 63, said she broke down in tears because she was so disappointed with the event. She complained to tour operators, Ledger Holidays, but is furious they've just offered £350 compensation.
What?
Well, hang on, if the whole thing cost 1,400 quid, that means she spent just over a grand on 11 days away and a boring opera. Mrs. Lowe, a cleaner from Oldham, said, I wanted to see him singing his well-known songs. We didn't book to see an opera. I thought it would be like a concert at the O2 in London where he performs his greatest hits with guests like Ed Sheeran. When he did it in New York, he had Barbara Streisand. So when it said special guests, we expected stars. Well, that's your own problem.
Yeah.
Special guests doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. That, you know...
Well, I take it there were quite a lot of Italian opera singers there. Yeah. They were probably his special guests.
But special guests is nothing. If it was La Traviata or Verdi, one of the common operas, or something, it would have been better. But it was a classical opera that no one knew anything about. Well, you're not as bright as you thought you were. I watched some opera on TV and I liked Pavarotti. But this was a full opera with wigs and heaving chests. So it was an opera. It was an opera. Stay there, Matt. Come there in a second. We couldn't understand the transcript. It was all in Italian.
Well, you were in Italy, right?
I think they're in Italy, aren't they?
Tuscany. Yeah, last time I checked.
They're in Italy. Right. So you went and saw a bit of theatre in a foreign country, and it was in the language of that country, you say.
And we went to a restaurant, and they didn't do chips.
One of the greatest nights I ever had was when I went to Tokyo once, and a member of the Kurikorda Quartet acted as our tour guide, me and my wife. And he took us to see some traditional Japanese stand-up. Not like stand-up with a mic, but traditional Japanese stand-up. Where it's like going for hundreds of years, right? And it's people in the kimonos and like samurai, you know, looking like old traditional Japanese people. And they come on and they kneel down on the floor. And they sit. And they do like a little 10-minute, 15-minute monologue. It's all in Japanese, right? Didn't understand a word of it. Loved it. And the dude next to us would kind of lean over and explain why some bits were funny and some bits explain what was going on. And there's a lot of symbolism in it and a lot of tradition in it. But it was just, and it was like an hour and a half. Couldn't understand a word of it. Loved it. Because it was the experience of being in this room with all these Japanese dudes that were finding it hilarious.
Yeah.
We couldn't understand the transcript. It was all in Italian. We wouldn't have paid all that money if it had been advertised as an opera. It's like booking tickets to see the rugby and getting there and being greeted with a ballet. No, it's not. The opera was Andrea Chenier, a four-act classical opera by Umberto Giordano, which is based loosely on the life of the French poet Andrea Chenier, who was executed during the French Revolution, as well as the concert in Bocelli's hometown on July the 27th. The coach holiday also included visits to Pisa, Luca, Florence, Montecatini and Volterra.
Sounds lovely, apart from being on a coach.
Other Britons on the tour included retired businesswoman Jenny Bell, 66, and her husband Peter, a retired electrician of Prestatyn in North Wales. Good, an accent. Mrs. Bell said, I was beyond disappointed. I thought the opera was being put on as an intro for the first 15 minutes, and then I thought the concert was about to start. Some people didn't even know Andrea Bocelli had been on. He had a very minor role. It was boring. Mrs. Lowe said around 10 holidaymakers on the trip had been offered a total of 1,650 by Ledger Holidays, which she claimed was nowhere near enough. We need to see the advert.
Yeah.
That's what we need, isn't it?
If they were saying, you know, Andrea Bocelli sings his hits, then that's one thing. If it's, let's go and see Andrea Bocelli, then that's another.
In a letter, the firm apologised but insisted it must categorically stress to you that we, like many other independent visitors of the performance, were not made aware that the concert was due to be an opera, as naturally we would have made you and your fellow guests aware. Nonetheless, I'm sorry for the prolonged disappointment you have been caused by the performance of Andrea Bocelli, and if you have believed you've been misled. Bocelli, 59, who's blind, I wonder if he's a racist. Singer, as you say, singer-songwriter and record producer. Is he now? Okay, well, it sounds like they cocked up a bit.
Someone's not telling the truth.
Someone's telling porcupines.
Because if you're booking excursions, surely you would know where you were taking people.
You would
surely.
Know, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Let's have a little.
You'd check. You'd ask.
Let's have a little ponder about this while these adverts play.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
If we made children dress up as adults, ugly adults, would we still have paedophiles? 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us your thoughts on that talking point today. Let's go to Matt. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening, mate. How's it going?
It's going very well, Matt. What have you got for us this evening?
I had caught you there when you said what would make the world go blind.
Yes.
And I thought, look, you must have watched The Day of the Triffids.
What made people go blind in Day of the Triffids?
When they spat in people's eyes, did they not?
Incorrect answer!
Oh.
Incorrect. The Triffids! Here we go. Catherine, yeah. The Triffids didn't make people go blind.
Oh, no, it was the flashes before, was it?
Yes, it was the asteroid storm that night. Triffids didn't make people go blind. The Triffids killed, but the Triffids used that opportunity to take over the world.
What did they do? They had, like, tentacles and that.
They sprayed you with, like, acid and killed you, and I think they ate you and stuff. Mm. It's good the Day of the Triffids, but the Triffids did not make you go blind. But also... Well, then, fine. Then we need to go back and watch Day of the Triffids, not the movie version with Howard Keel, but I would say the BBC TV series, and we need to discover if there was any racism.
Well, on that note, Dave Chappelle does a character.
Oh.
And he's a blind Ku Klux Klan leader.
Okay.
Who doesn't know he's black.
Oh, hey! With hilarious consequences.
He did offend quite a few people.
Well, hang on a minute. That's a rip-off of the excellent... And this is actually not a bad movie. I went to the pictures to see this. See No Evil, Hear No Evil, with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. Not their greatest, and Richard Pryor's quite poorly in it. But Richard Pryor plays a black guy, and someone says to him, well, what about the black guy over there? And he goes, he's blind. And he goes, I'm black? Why did no one tell me? And it's a great line, and it's
He was actually on the train with his sister. And he was reading the paper upside down.
That's it. You got it.
And she pointed out.
You.
And I think his response was, does mum know?
Come on.
Followed swiftly by, what am I going to tell the guys at the country club?
Well, there you go. How do you know Hear No Evil, See No Evil? How can you quote that movie?
I don't know. Strange facts stick in my head for some reason.
It's actually quite a good film. I saw it in the pictures and it got slated, but I watched it a while ago and it's funny.
It's very, very
politically incorrect. You won't be able to make that movie now, mainly because the two stars are dead.
Of course, yeah.
But
thanks for pointing out. I come second for not realising the Triffids actually killed you.
Yeah,
I'll have to go back and do my homework on sci-fi.
You will do. Go and do a little bit of sci-fi homework.
All right, OK. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your call, Matthew. It's appreciated. May God bless you and everybody who sails in you. For goodness sakes. I got the hippie shakes. It's in the bag. Oh! The hippie. Well, now you shake it to the left. What is the hippie shakes? Is it shaking in the hips, I guess? There we go, I've answered the question. Because it's before hippies.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was really early 60s, 63, 64, and hippies weren't around till 66.
Well, I always imagined hippies and I was wrong.
Yeah, no, and also it's not a hippie kind of tune. It's a rock and roll thing. I do wonder. After setting millions of pulses racing in her time as a screen siren, Jane Fonda has spoken of her love of pornography, particularly the movie Two Girls, One Cup.
No.
Jane, 80...
You're joking, aren't you?
Jane, I'm reading the story. Jane, 80, says she likes erotic fiction, gangbang and bukkake.
No, stop it.
I swear to God, this is what it says.
It doesn't.
The actress, said, I've read really good pornography. And I've got a great collection of DVDs. Although the best stuff I have is on VHS. I had a mate who worked at the airport and he used to pass on to me all of the confiscated stuff that people tried to bring into the country. This is proper hardcore Euro-strength porno. XXX. You won't believe what these crazy cats get up to.
Some of it's disgusting. I mean, absolutely filthy. But I just can't stop watching it.
Are you making any of this up?
No, this is the story in the paper.
Because I've seen Jane Fonda's workout videos, and it wasn't that.
My favourite pornos are the spoofs on Hollywood movies. Just last week, I was watching White Men Can Hump. Although I always have a soft spot for Titty Slickers. That's a real film. I'm quoting, I'm reading the story. These are Jane Fonda's words.
She's seen Shaving Ryan's Privates.
Do it again. Go on, have another run.
She's seen Shaving Ryan's Privates.
One film I've never seen is Shaving Ryan's Privates. I'm not really into the shaving scene. I'm old school. And under my stairs, it's like a jungle. Jane declared in 2012, at 74, I've never had such a fulfilling sex life. And last month, she said intimacy improves for women as they get older. Jane added, and Carol will back us up on this, particularly if we provide her with the equipment. It gets better because we understand our bodies more. We know what we like and we're less afraid to ask for it. But 3 months before that, the US star who split from her long-term boyfriend, 76-year-old record producer Richard Perry, in 2017 revealed, I have closed up shop down there. Nobody has to keep on being sexual later in life. It should be up to us to make the decision. Well, there you go.
She's done.
She is finished. She's not Fonda loving anymore.
Good one.
Thank you very much indeed. She was Fonda sex, but now she's not fond of it. Fonda it. She's Fonda no more. She's Fonda no more.
She's Fonda watching, but no more doing.
No more doing. She ponders. Jane Fonda ponders.
But her hands don't wander.
Coming soon on DVD.
Well, apparently not.
No.
Well, that was a charming story. Something we can all think about as we head towards the twilight of our lives. I need to get a mate at the airport.
I was always the thing at school. Someone said, oh, yeah, my dad's mate works at the airport and he gets all the stuff that gets confiscated. And, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff.
What happens, they just divvy it up in the staff room at the end of the day.
A blood-soaked climber, there she is.
Oh, dear. I wouldn't say she's soaked. I'd say that's a little trickle.
Posed, smiling for a selfie moments after a 50-foot mountain fall, not realising... she was dead. Huh? No, I'm sorry. Not realising she'd snapped her neck.
What?
Magdalena Michalowska, 41, thought she had just a few cuts. But after she'd been flown to hospital 3 hours later, doctors found she'd fractured a vertebrae. Is that the same as breaking a neck?
No.
No, she's not broken her neck, so I'm not going to read that story. That story is based on...
That's fake news.
That is fake. Oh, it's Paul Ross. He's always there because there's a little bit of glass in the door, and I just see the... you can't see, it's dark in there, but I just see a little reflection of his glasses. Sometimes he holds the phone under his face, like...
spooky.
...telling a ghost story. But you just get a little reflection of the glasses. Yeah. The thing is, he could have been there since about 10:05.
I think he has been.
We just don't know. Because you came... why were you in early tonight?
Shoot, I've just got the water over. I do apologise. Let's blame Kath.
Hey, no, because you're the reason we haven't got faders here. Because you spilt a drink over the faders.
Tell the truth, there were never faders there.
There were never faders there.
There were three faders. You're having that hallucination again. There were never faders there. You think you're on the radio at the moment, don't you?
I did that... what, nurse?
Oh, I do it, Kath,
I did that at the BBC once. I spilt... like hot honey and lemon all over the faders. And because it was lemon, it was all sticky. Yeah. And I was down and I knackered the desk and I was down there taking it apart and trying to clean it.
I had a coffee on and I
was brought in one, a cup of mud, by he who must not be named, Johnny Seifert.
Yes.
Who put it down, so I can blame him for it. The thing was, we phoned our emergency engineering. Yeah. I took the top off immediately and pulled the bottom. Phoned emergency engineering, who came down 2 days later.
There we go. Wow.
It was my fault, though. I coughed to it. Wasn't charged for it, though. Like the time I punched the air conditioner. Didn't get charged for that either.
Was that you? What is wrong with you, man?
No, that was months ago when I had anger issues.
Calm down.
I've now got a punch bag.
Punch Johnny Seifert if you're going to punch anything. Get some use out of your
anger. He's a good lad. We like him, really. Arsenal. Anyway. Did you know the original Hippie Hippie Shake? It's a great slower version. It's by a guy called Chan Romero from Montana, real name Robert.
Right.
And the Beatles covered it on the Beatles at the BBC sessions. There's a Beatles version knocking around as well.
Yeah, there is.
Swinging Blue Jeans version.
Swinging Blue
though.
Jeans. But for years I thought it was like a hippie as in Peace Man, but it must be hips.
No, it's just some kind of weird dance.
Yeah.
Some of the turkey trot and the mashed potato and the hitchhike and all that.
Mashed potato, the pony and all of that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
We're back on porn titles.
Here we go.
What's going on?
What have you got on your show?
We have got a remarkable story from the Second World War about a man who was a humble bank clerk, genuinely. He was recruited by MI5 to become a spy on the British fascist movement. He ended up virtually leading the movement when Oswald Mosley was incarcerated. He passed himself as a Gestapo agent, and he gave to a couple of British Nazis the Iron Cross in 1946.
Wow.
It is an absolutely astonishing story about Agent Jack King. We're also going crossing to Oxford because there's a brilliant new exhibition on at the Ashmolean. Out your way now, you should take the ledge called Spellbound.
Oh, yeah.
And it's 800 years of magic, witches, warlocks and wizards. They've even got old voodoo dolls, poppets they're called, with like stilettos in their eyes. It's a fantastic exhibition.
I'm getting into that scene. My mouse mat is a Ouija board, because I got a Ouija board to have a seance, and it's now my mouse mat. And but it's all the letters have faded off.
Yeah, it's not used to such heavy use.
It's never been used so vigorously, but I love a bit of magic. Got really into Dennis Wheatley.
Oh, he's great. He made some great books, which are almost like evidence files. If you ever see those, that are brilliant. They're not chronological. You just kind of work out the mystery. Although I got obsessed when I was about 15, 16 with Aleister Crowley, which wasn't a good idea, because there's a kind of odd... I mean, he had some interesting things. He once spent a week without using the word I, the pronoun I, and he used to slash himself with a razor to try and take himself outside his body. I did it with a pin and didn't get the same effect.
We got in trouble. Our deputy head at school was a very devout Christian, and he caught us reading a book about Aleister Crowley.
He's actually a good poet. You know W.B. Yeats. He was a friend of Yeats.
Really? Yeah. He's fascinating. Anyway, anything else? You've got 30 seconds. Sorry.
What else on the programme? Oh, we're off to the movies with John Hearn. A couple of great films, including a modern-day cowboy film I'm really looking forward to hearing about, which is a great movie. And also we're talking about the Zorro bug, which is depredating upon our elms. They've just suffered Dutch elm disease. Now the Zorro bug is over. It does leave a kind of z on the leaves. So all that and more on and the usual old tosh.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's tidy up this crap. We're done for
all
another night.
H2O, as they said in The Simpsons.
We are done. We are finished. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Sam. We'll be back tonight at 10 o'clock. Stay tuned, though, because coming up after the news at 1, it is Mr. Paul Ross. Thank you. Ta-ta.